another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeedy deed. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Well, let's see what we got on tap for today. Chuck Liddell in studio.
Is that overwhelming response right there?
About the biggest name in the UFC, Chuck, yep. The Iceman Liddell.
Yeah, they say he's the best.
They certainly seem so in the light heavyweight division, although he's going up against Rampage Jackson, who's a really tough guy coming up. So that'll be an interesting fight. And the other guy beat him last time they fought. So,
that's right. I never thought I'd ever say this, but Chuck Liddell, striker, but he's learning how to grapple.
That's right.
I shouldn't know this.
Well, T was telling me
that's
his game
cool.
Was brawl and sprawl, but now it's turned to ground and pound.
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
I
never thought I'd give a rat's ass about this sport, and I think it's going to put an end, really, to the only sport I ever loved, and that's boxing.
Well, I don't know about an end, but certainly if you're cutting up the pie, the octagon just got a bigger piece of it over the last 5 years than the squared circle did. Emmanuel Lewis is going to be in here.
By the way, I'll be fighting him.
Is he a grappler? Or?
He's got the height advantage, but Danny's got speed, and he's a cagey veteran.
He's got power.
Yeah, I don't know that I think I've spoken to, interviewed, or sat next to on an airplane almost everybody in this town, and I don't know that I've ever met Emmanuel Lewis.
I know this guy real well.
Yeah, I know why. Now, why would you? I would assume you'd know him because I think there's some sort of fraternity of child stars.
I almost got mad. There not only is not, but ex-child stars seem to insist there is, and loudly. And I'm the guy that made it back. I'm the guy with the dough. I'm the guy with the career. Mm-hmm. I'll walk into a place and there'll be someone I never heard of. And then two people will high five and then turn to me and say, another member of the fraternity. And
right.
Apparently they had television series when they were kids and they're all washed up.
But you know,
and they think we're the member of a club together.
We need, and by the way, they're going to need to have some sort of cutoff. Like if you're
linchpin
in the cast of nice fraternity reference. If you're in the cast of an iconic 70s TV show, I'll cut you some slack. But once we got into the mid and late 80s, if you're the blonde neighbor kid from Who Cares or
right,
or whatever the Alan Thicke project is yours is, I ain't buying it. So when they do that thing where they go, next up on Entertainment Tonight, a tragic loss, a child star. You know, they do the child star.
That's
the problem. It's sort of like porn star. They're 90% of you I've never seen before, so how does that make you a star?
And
you know what I mean?
Have boned on film within the last decade.
Right.
I think that's important.
Well, the child star, so they'll do that thing where they go, a child star comes out with a porn movie. I'll combine my two examples, and you'll go, ooh, who is this going to, what do we got over here? Someone from the Cosby Show, perhaps? And then it's someone from a sitcom from 1989. Yeah, it's the one where, you know, something, I'm trying to think, what's the one where Sandy Duncan took over for Rhoda?
Oh.
Whatever the hell that was.
I'll keep an eye out for you.
Yes, that wasn't it, but no. But the point is, it's some obscure late 80s, early 90s thing where you didn't know the kid and the kid wasn't even a regular kind of thing. I don't know, we got a call in line one. Yes, hold on a second. Dennis?
Yeah.
You have a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to know who you're taking in the Mayweather fight, you being a trainer and all.
Well,
interesting.
You can never. Okay, let me say this. Thank you, Dennis. You can never really go against a guy who's never loses and never really comes close to losing, meaning Mayweather,
right,
unless something happened. If he retired unbeaten 10 years ago and is now going to come out of retirement and
right,
fight
sure,
the second best guy, then it's like, all right, maybe something. But until the guy loses or until some guy even shows that he has flaws or
right,
that he's vulnerable or knocks him down a couple times versus a guy who's a great fighter in De La Hoya but who's been beat a couple of times,
right,
I don't know how you do it.
Well, I will tell you, I was at the Sugar Shane Mosley, his first loss, I believe, and an Oscar De La Hoya fight at the Staples Center. I have an autographed glove. I have a big poster. My station had something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have all this stuff, and I bet.
He means condom when he says glove, by the way, but go ahead.
I bet heavily on De La Hoya and lost. And I've lost more money on De La Hoya, but Roy Jones Jr. was Mayweather. He was untouchable. Nobody came close. Nobody. He'd laugh at them. He'd taunt them. He'd fight whole rounds without swinging just to show he couldn't be hit. And then somebody knocked him out, and he's never the same guy again. He started losing fight after fight after fight. Just boom. Just came from the greatest thing ever to an announcer within a month. That's the same thing that happened to Mayweather. Certainly could.
It can happen. The problem is in the lighter weight divisions, they don't have quite as much pop. So,
right.
You know, in the heavyweight division, there's always a chance that the underdog is going to just catch somebody.
Big right.
And boom. And the next thing you know, Lennox Lewis is on his arse. And what the hell is
this? I agree. It's Mike Tyson and that nobody. What was his name in Tokyo?
Buster Douglas.
Buster Douglas.
Right.
That was amazing. I know. There was nobody. Nobody ever heard of him. And Tyson was his animal best, and everybody was terrified
of
him.
No, but I'm using the Haseem Rockman one because Buster Douglas, it's a crazy story. Mike Tyson, during that time, was considered not unbeatable. He was invincible.
Yeah, he wasn't even considered this species, really. That's the next evolution in what
he was. He was destroying people, and Buster Douglas came in, maybe a 41-1 underdog.
It was
to
41,
him.
Yeah, it's 41 underdog.
And Buster Douglas was always an underachieving fighter. And Buster Douglas's mom died a couple weeks earlier, and he like dedicated the whatever. And the reason I don't use him as an example is because this guy put together an amazing 10 rounds. He eventually knocked Tyson out.
Knocked him out.
It wasn't a lucky punch.
It wasn't the typical scenario, what I was saying, which is the puncher's chance in the heavyweight division. He was doubling up his jabs. He was taking Tyson to school. Then he took some of Tyson's best shots, and then he gave it right back to him. I mean, it was this crazy, inspired performance, and then he was never the same. He got fat. Never the same, which is interesting. How do you put that kind of night together? How do all the stars align and everything comes together and everything lines up and you put together that kind of night? And that kind of night for Buster Douglas was as big as those kinds of nights get. He took a guy who was in his prime, who was considered unbeatable, and he took him to school for 10 rounds and then punctuated it with a big knockout and never came close to that ever again.
Except for that this guy was once great. A perfect opposite example of what Adam is giving you is the George Foreman-Michael Moore fight, where Michael Moore was not Michael Moore. Is it Michael Moore?
Yeah. You tell me and I'll tell you.
When he became the oldest heavyweight champ in the world.
Knocked out Michael Moore.
Okay. Michael Moore was killing George Foreman for 10 rounds. It's like George wasn't fighting back, it seemed. And in the 10th round, George Foreman took his right hand and went.
Yeah.
And Michael Moore went flying, didn't move, and was carried out.
One big shot.
I think it may have been the only punch the man threw in 10 rounds.
One big shot from that right hand, and out go the mics. I'm like, sorry.
Did you guys ever see Chuck Wepner fight Ali?
Yeah.
The guy who Rocky was based on?
Yeah.
That is an amazing fight.
Yeah, well, I mean, Wepner knocked him down with a hook or something.
Well, Wepner looks old and out of shape.
Well, you know, the thing that's funny about back in the day, if you think about it, athletes have tons of testosterone, and I think
I know where they can buy some.
are more apt to start the male pattern balding earlier than your average dude. You see those dudes, I mean, even if they're not on the juice,
right, but
even if it's back in the 70s, one of the things they say is the high circulating testosterone somehow causes the hair loss. Now, they get it. Brian's got the best of both worlds. He's built like Whitney Houston, and he's bald. Point is, guys would, you know, you see those gargantuan, scary guys. Their backs are hairy, but their heads are bald. Now, back in the 70s, and Brian, I told you this off the air.
Yeah.
the other day, which is you had to wear your hair long in the early 70s. Yes, we talked about this. You didn't have a choice. There's no Michael Jordan option. You couldn't shave your head. If you're balding now, and there's plenty of jocks. I mean, Cal Ripken has basically been going bald for 15 or 20 years. So what did he do? He shaved his head.
Yeah, Jordan. Yeah,
hurry up.
Yes, Jordan. I mean, I'm trying to think of, you know, for some reason, the brothers, there were a fair amount of them back in the day that went with it because it was a look. But there's a lot of guys, white guys, who hair's fallen out, so they shaved it off. They look fine. Cal Ripken, no problemo.
Billy Ripken,
Matt Williams, problemo. Back in the early 70s, late 60s, if your hair was falling out on top, you had to overcompensate by growing it longer and then combing it over.
Yeah.
So you see a lot of these guys getting into the ring, and there's no helmet, there's no baseball cap, obviously. You're getting in the ring, and they have bad, long comb-overs and whatever. And look, a good wind will undo a comb-over pretty quick. Forget about the double jab followed up with a hook. That'll undo the comb-over in a hurry. So you see some of these guys, some of these like British guys and some of these older white guys, especially as they're getting a little further along in a career. So for sure they're balding, but it's 1972. So ladies like the hair long. And there they are in 1972 with crazy bad comb-over falling over onto the right side of their head and pulling them around the ring to that side.
And you would see that too.
And then like some of these guys had just enough hair that if they styled it just right and they put it just enough dippity-doo in it, it would hold together. But as soon as they start sweating, it gets stringy, it would fall over, it was long, and then it just looked like hell. Now you mix that in with some pasty white skin and a lot of blood, and you got a bad look up against those ropes. I mean, those guys, when they would walk back to their corner, not only did their face look beaten up, but their hair looked beaten up too.
You'll see that a lot. You'll see guys that have permanent dents to their weave, man. You know, the guys, because Froze came back for a while, remember that?
Yeah.
And then you see the guy that wasn't doing the interview, especially if it was Michael or Leon Spinks and they just wanted their teethers back, and they'd have dents to their hair that wouldn't come out.
I would argue, though, that a good fro is half a helmet.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, really, you take a guy with a serious, nappy, 4-inch fro.
I couldn't believe it. I can't believe that just happened.
The good news is, you're fired.
Not only did he have one, but she walked into the ring with
him. You hit that guy in the head, it's going to take a while before you hit something solid.
Well, remember the Roberto Duran fight?
Yeah, the second one?
They measured his beard, and he barely had a 5 o'clock shadow. Yeah, because it's protection.
Yeah.
And, I mean, literally, he probably hadn't shaved in maybe 3 days.
Look, Teresa, come on. Think about all the great fighting rabbis over the years.
You know, it's true.
I was just
going over them in my mind.
All righty. Who the hell knows what we're talking
about?
By
the way, just so you know, what we're thinking about this so heavily, I'm now a bit of a nervous wreck. I've got two fights coming up in 10 days of one another. One is June 1st in San Diego on one of our own stations. This station in San Diego that we're talking to right now. The Sunday night guy, when Gretchen announced she was divorcing me and I said, please don't go.
Right.
Started calling me. Like, I thought it was nice of me to admit I didn't want her to go. Instead of act like the tough guy and say, yeah, I'm leaving her. I just admit I didn't want it. This guy went after me so much. People called me and said, there's this jock at, I think, 103.7 in San Diego. Sunday afternoon, nobody jock. And he goes after me and after me and after me and after me. So finally, to make this short, he gets himself locked in. This fight, he can't get out. During commercial breaks, I'm going, buddy, you know, I don't know if this is a bit or what you're doing, but you have to get yourself out of this. You can't call me these names and don't think I'm going to show up and kill you. You have to find a way out. And he didn't. So first, I got to kill him. But then I got to really fight Robert Shapiro. He's a 65-year-old man that could beat me, and I'm scared to death of that. And that's why possibly maybe all this boxing talk. And, Adam, I cannot thank you enough. I practiced that combination all morning this morning. Like, for an hour, I practiced those combos you gave me. Thank you.
Yes, the combination I gave him was step to the right, sachet, and then cabbage patch.
That's essentially it. Adam's the only trainer I've ever had that will believe me when I say, I have no skill. I can't box. I can fight. And Adam at least believed me and said, okay, brawler guy, then throw his ass into the corner and do this to him. Everybody else wants to teach me how to bob and weave. It's like, I make Jake LaMotta look like Baryshnikov.
Well, like I... Like I said, Danny, when you hit Robert Shapiro, you're not only punching him for you, but for all white people.
But it's a charity event for his kid. I'm worried
still,
about that.
That right hand of yours still representing every guy who was disappointed OJ's on the golf course all right?
I'm going to ask my boss. You're my boss. I always point it out. It's your name on the door. I do what I'm told. I like my job. I like you.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to hurt Shapiro?
It'd be, well... Here's what I'd like.
I can't beat him boxing. I can't, but I can hurt him.
I'd like you to announce who your punch is for before you throw each one of them. Now, it's not great. Maybe this is why I wasn't a great trainer, but you do. You go, this one's for Ron Goldman, and pow.
Yeah.
And then you go,
this
one's for the Brown family. Boom, and you go,
yeah.
This one's for every American. And then he counterpunches.
it's a charity for his boy.
Oh, his boy?
Who passed away. I'm in a moral bind here, because if I try not to hurt Robert Shapiro, because he's 65.
How does son pass away?
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he OD'd, and it's a drug charity.
Mm.
So, like, this guy Lee, the San Diego nobody disc jockey Sunday afternoon's punk, I'm going to cripple this guy.
All right.
I'm going to say none of that to Mr. Shapiro.
All right, well, deliver that same speech to the Sunday jock over there in San Diego. It'll confuse him just enough for an opening.
This is for Ron Goldman. Who?
And then I'll just call Mr. Shapiro all night.
Hold on real quick now. Tim?
Yeah?
Now that we're talking about boxing, your question is?
Do you feel Don King has ruined the sport of boxing?
No.
The reason I ask is, like the Cooper and Holyfield fight when Tyson was supposed to fight Holyfield.
Burt Cooper, yes.
Man, that was an awesome fight. I mean, he had Holyfield rubber up against the ropes, and they called the fight for taking too many punches.
Yeah. Burt Cooper was a pretty good and sort of underrated heavyweight. Yes?
So what's your answer?
Well, look, I really don't know enough how the fight game works behind the scenes to know if a guy like King was the greatest thing ever or the worst thing ever.
Oh, he's a murderer.
I do, yes. And I was saying to somebody the other day, by the way, I don't know who I was thinking of as an example. Maybe it was Don Imus. Maybe it was...
Everybody named Don!
Maybe it was...
Don't take on Rickles.
Maybe it was... No, maybe it was...
that hockey puck.
Maybe it was Imus. Maybe it was Howard K. Stern. Maybe it was one of these guys that just walks around like they're perpetually bit into something bad and everyone seems to hate, but really probably aren't horrible guys. I mean, they've never done anything wrong versus Don King, who stomped the guy to death.
But he
has a crazy fro. He had a guy owed him money. And he went and found him in the street, and he just basically knocked the guy down, and he started
stomping him until he's dead, and, which is not that easy.
That's one guy, and there may have even been another guy. I'm not sure if he has two credits to his two notches on his belt or not. But the point is he smiles, he laughs, and he waves an American flag, and everyone loves the guy.
Right.
He's a guy who's murdered somebody. Everyone loves him.
And steals his boxer's money and leaves them penniless on the street.
Versus a guy... or two, or three, the list goes on and on. It's never really done anything wrong to anybody. Certainly never come close to taking a life, but they walk around with a puss on, and you go, I hate that guy.
By the way, my answer is that Don King actually made the sport of boxing. He's bad for humanity, not boxing.
He's bad for the guy who's been dead for 30 years, but probably not for boxing.
Right.
Now, if I'm going to tell my son, look, if you got to go around, don't walk around with a puss on and have everyone hate you. Meanwhile, all you're doing is charity work and paying your taxes.
Right.
Do the route where you get to kill a guy with your boot, and then you wave an American flag and say it's the greatest country in the world, and everyone loves you.
Only in America. That's his saying.
All right, we'll take a break. A couple of guys that came out of the same mold, Don King and Emmanuel Lewis.
Yep.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Lewis.
When they made Don King, they shrunk the mold.
Emmanuel is, he's not here yet. That's right. Oh, he is here yet. Oh, we are going. Okay.
No, he just walked under the window right there.
Oh. Well, hold on a second. Let's be fair. Danny doesn't get to make a whole lot of short jokes that don't have him as the punchline.
All right, you're right. All right. It's fair game.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. We'll be back with Emmanuel next.
What's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Hey, is this Elton John? Yo, it's Black Jack Silver. Hey, man, got a favor to ask you. I got to book a big-name celebrity for this contest at work, and, well, do you have Kiki D's phone number? Hello? Hello? Oh, hey, what up, peeps? Check out this show for today. We got Emmanuel Lewis. We got UFC champion Chuck Liddell and Sidney Poitier. Holy crap! Roll out the red carpet. Hide the powdered coffee creamer. Iceman, get that $10,000 check ready.
That's his daughter, Jack. They got the same name.
Really? Name her Sidney.
Late. Thanks, Jack. Adam Carolla with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Had to check it, Jack Silver. Emmanuel Lewis here. Oh, so many questions for Emmanuel Lewis. Oh, wait a minute. Let me look over here. Hey, Emmanuel, what's happening? Emmanuel's got a great infectious laugh.
He does, always has.
Yeah, it's nice. Are you that happy?
I usually am.
You do? You have a good disposition?
Yes.
It's not compensation? You're not harboring some pain that we need to know about? No?
Would you like to?
Didn't your parents rip you off or something like that? Aren't you suing yourself? Isn't there anything going on?
Stop yourself.
What's happening?
You're talking about Gary Coleman.
I'm talking about everyone.
You're
who,
an ass.
Everyone who made a nickel in the 80s.
Emmanuel, you're still on good terms with your parents?
Absolutely.
Emmanuel Lewis is on good terms with everyone.
You say that as if that's like you're not supposed to be on good terms. Of
course, we're supposed to be, but nobody is.
Okay, well.
Adams, we're lazy. Mine beat me. Teresa's abandoned her.
To be fair to my parents, I like to think they would have beaten me if they weren't so apathetic about their kids.
I wish mine cared enough to beat me.
I think my dad would make the announcement once, twice a week where he goes, I'm going to beat the, but let's watch the rest of Maude. So Emmanuel Lewis, you started, I guess people first caught on to you during the Burger King spots from the, mid-80s?
Right. I started, my very first commercial was a Campbell's Soup commercial, and mm-hmm. that was like the first commercial I'd ever done, and it was nationwide. And then I went on to do a lot of commercials, over 60, 70 commercials. I don't know how many they were. But
And you were how old at this point, and where did you start, and how did you start?
I started at the age of 9, and mm-hmm. my very first gig or, interview or whatever was Campbell's Soup.
Uh-huh. And you're out of where? Where are you from? New
Brooklyn,
York.
Yeah.
And then your family moves out to here for sitcom season?
We did a few years of doing commercials, and then mm-hmm. I went to Japan, Tokyo, and did some singing there. Had a number one song that went that went very big on the Billboard charts over there, and then came back to America, and I got a call from the president of ABC, Lou Ehrlich, to come and develop this concept.
And we're talking about Webster.
Eventually it was Webster, yes.
Yeah, it didn't start off that way.
It started off being called Another Ball Game.
Oh, really?
They called up a little kid and said, come in and help us develop an idea for you?
Well, I mean, the president loved the ABC, Burger King commercial, and they wanted me to come in, and they wanted to do a TV show around me.
The right. man show was originally called The Half Pint and Brown
I
Shoe, by the way.
I didn't create anything like that.
We switched it later.
Steve Silvers created it, but they came in, wanted to meet with me, I guess, and kind of see what kind of person I was, and...
So they hook you up with Alex Karras.
Right. Susan Clark.
Which makes perfect sense right there.
Sure. No, Alex was an all-pro defensive lineman for the
Detroit
Lions.
Yeah.
Detroit
now,
Lions.
I didn't know this about him until, because I don't care anything about football. Mm-hmm. I knew he was a football player. But I didn't know anything about this until I saw him as this great stepdad or adopted dad on your show.
Okay.
That he was one of the meanest players
in
the league.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I would have never guessed that in a bazillion years.
He was also Mongo from Blazing Saddles.
The guy that knocks out the horse with one punch.
That's right, Mongo.
Mr. Shapiro?
Did you like working with him?
It's like a big teddy bear. I mean, it was really wild because, I've never really feared people, very much growing up. I mean, you live in Brooklyn and, you feel like you can knock everybody over. And you just have, this chip on your shoulder when you're in New York, rah, rah. And so when I came to do the show and, I didn't know that he was this, ferocious football player. You know what I mean? I didn't really watch football as a 9-year-old. So, to meet him and then everybody's afraid and then, we'd hang out and somebody would piss him off or something. He'd go, and just get all upset. But it was never toward me. So I never felt that fear that everyone else did because he was just, you know, really a big teddy bear to me.
Well, if you're kicking Emmanuel Lewis's ass, you are an ass. I mean,
don't get me started.
How good is that going to look, you dropping the hammer on Emmanuel?
The hammer?
I said
there's a great boxing movie coming out.
That's
there,
right.
Speaking of fighting.
I said light cream in this coffee, Emmanuel, and then you just start kicking the bejesus out of him. You want to talk about losing some cosmic points. Emmanuel, let's see. I'll talk about kicking it old school in just a second, but first we'll continue back in your journey. So you wind up, you're on the top of the world. It's the mid-80s now. You're doing Webster. You're hanging out with Michael Jackson. How does that connection come about? Does he see you on TV and give you a buzz? Do you hit him up?
Actually, a friend of mine pretty much knew that I was a fan of, you know, all the music and stuff. And I loved, you know, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough and all that kind of stuff. So,
sure.
And that was like the jam for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so one night with my mom in tow, they decided to blindfold me and put me on his shoulders. And it was like 11, 12 o'clock at night.
Uh-huh.
And there you go. That's what's up. And I came down the street and I'm starting hearing, you know,
whose shoulders are you on?
It's one of my buddies.
All right.
You know, one of the securities that works with us, and my mom was there as well. And
sure.
So we're on the shoulders. I'm blindfolded, so I couldn't see anything. I didn't know where we were, and we were basically walking down the middle of the street, and there Michael was shooting Thriller.
Now, do you normally travel on shoulders, or was this a special occasion?
Well, I didn't know where I was going, and
they said, get on the service rice. Because we transport Angie during the fireman carry, normally when we go do remotes.
I didn't know where I was going, and also it was a steep hill, so I had to work tomorrow, so, you know.
Let's face it, the whole world is your horse, especially in the mid-80s, right? I mean, you're a small guy,
much, yeah.
You're a rich guy, you're on top of the world, so anyone next to you just yell, mount up, and you just jump on top of them.
So they take off your blindfold.
I think I weighed like 45 pounds soaking wet or whatever at that time, so I was just like feather.
Right.
Right.
So,
they take off your blindfold.
They take the blindfold off,
and I'm listening to the music. And before they took the blindfold off, I already knew who it was. I'm hearing
Michael Jackson.
I'm like, oh my god!
I know Michael Jackson music.
You really do.
I'm like loving that. And so I'm looking there. He's in the goon outfit,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Going at the
almost
infamous,
always now.
The
yes.
infamous dance,
right?
And that was like,
now is this out on
killer.
The street somewhere?
Yeah, they were filming the music video. At
John Landis is John Landis.
John Landis was the director. Yeah.
Right. So they bring you to the set of Thriller. And you're out there, and now you're up on the shoulders. You have a nice bird's eye view.
Pretty much.
Of Michael.
Because there's a crowd. Yeah, that's another reason why I did it. Because there was a big crowd watching the filming of this. And
right.
So behind them, I wouldn't be able to see. So,
now.
They knew all of this before.
You get introduced to Michael at the end of this?
Well, in the middle, while he was doing the dance of the goon, you know, with the makeup and all of that.
Sure.
They took a break, and we got a chance to go back to his trailer and meet him for the very first time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was off the chain.
Yes, and then what? Now you struck up a friendship with him at that point?
So, yeah, he was like, he said he was a, you know, big fan of mine, and he's seen the show, and he loved it, and, you know, thought it would be cool, you know, for us to hang out some other time or whatever.
Yeah, but wasn't there a big controversy? Didn't he come out to an acceptance award or give an award and carry you like a child?
He was on his shoulders. That's how he traveled back in the
80s. It's a famous picture of, and I remember an uproar about it because you were a grown man and Michael Jackson walked out carrying you.
No, and in all honesty, the uproar wasn't then. The uproar was like 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. Nothing ever was said about it then. It wasn't a problem. I mean, I had Jesse Jackson pick me up, a lot of people, different
people.
It was only after the allegations that anything like that happened.
At that time,
it was cool.
You guys went out for the Golden Globes or the Grammys or the whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You went with him to the Grammys or something like that, and then he went out to collect his award and he brought you.
He brought me, my mom, security.
But out on stage.
But no one could see, you know, who else was with us. They just saw me and him.
Did you ever have any interactions with Michael that made you feel uncomfortable?
Or any intercourse?
I wasn't asking that. I was just asking if you ever felt uncomfortable in any way.
You know, he's a real dude to me. You know what I mean? He's really cool. It wasn't like any of what's going on in the past or all the news. So, I mean, when I hear it, I'm like, that's crazy because most people talk about what they think, and they don't really know him. They never met him. They never spent one ounce of time with him. So for me to be there, I'm like, you guys are crazy. If you understand, you know, the nature of our relationship and not just mine, but my family, my grandmother. I mean, he loved my great-grandmother.
You were long-time friends.
Not just me, but my whole family. I mean, you know, I live with my brothers and my sister and my mom and my great-grandmother. We moved her in from Texas. And, like, everybody, like, I think he hung out just as much time with my great grandmother as he did with me.
I never saw him do anything.
She, you know, they she loved to sing the old spirituals.
Let me explain how white people were.
So they used to sing to each other.
That's so
now
sweet.
Now does that explain Michael Jackson now?
His great great grandmother and Michael Jackson singing
we
together.
All live together just like the brothers do until somebody makes a goddamn nickel and then we get the F.
I knew
out
that
of
was coming.
That's how it works. The brothers, they'll have, we Brian and the grandmother, we've got my brothers, my sister, we're all living together and I'm making $1 billion a year on a sitcom. That doesn't exist in the white man's world. Second we get a dollar, we are out of the house.
Did you ever do the thing that he talks about where he sleeps in the same bed with some of his friends? It's not sexual.
We would crash, you know, as a kid. Uh-oh. You know, you're watching in the living room or wherever we're watching TV, and we'd watch movies until we crash. I mean, that was basically if you were on the couch, if you were on the floor, wherever you were, you crashed. So when it comes to that situation, sure, I mean.
And most people don't know this. His bedroom at Neverland is bigger than a four-bedroom apartment.
Absolutely.
Teresa, in bunk beds. Yes. The size of a normal house.
Mike didn't even have a bed. You know what I mean? You know, he preferred
lay on small people?
No, not at all.
So let me explain. Yeah. It was the 80s. It was a different time here in Hollywood. You know, you'd go out.
It was completely innocent. I understand everybody's, you know, griping, you know, worry and all of that, but nothing went down. Again, I'm that same kid from Brooklyn that thought I could take on the world. I mean, I didn't know any better. You know, you if you didn't walk down the street with a chip on your shoulder, then you were going to get your behind whooped.
Well,
I mean, that's just
Emmanuel,
how
you
we
were
lived
the
in
chip
Brooklyn.
On someone's shoulder.
That's just
settle
how it
down,
worked.
Dude. Nobody's after Michael in here.
I'm just saying this is the mindset of, of like this kid from Brooklyn. I mean, I went to public school. I didn't go to private school. And, you know,
you wouldn't have been a docile victim is what you're saying. If anything had happened, you would have stood up for yourself.
Absolutely.
Well,
Michael was like really thin.
He
only weighs like a buck.
All right. You would have snapped him like kindling. But now let me say this.
Pretty much.
First off.
But he's my boy, though.
All right. Relax. He doesn't have a radio. Now, listen.
They repossessed
in Bahrain. We don't come in that clear.
Two things.
No, he's here to stay silent.
Two things. He's listening to Bubba the Love Sponge. He only gets satellite over there. All right. Now, listen. Two things. First off, Jimmy Kimmel, who'll be hosting this show tomorrow as I make my way to New York, he's always told me, he told me he confronted his priest growing up, angry that he wasn't molested, wanting to know, saying, what? Am I not attractive enough? I'm not cute enough? So first off, you owe Michael Jackson. I feel like you should confront him and say, what's the matter? You find me physically attractive?
Yes.
Number one. But number two, there's an interesting point here, which is Manuel Lewis, by the way, in studio and kicking it old school out this Friday, I do believe, with Jamie Kennedy. Interesting thing, which is victimizers look for victims.
Right.
Now, you show me a kid who comes from a battered childhood, who maybe was molested before, who's essentially a victim, and victimizers will sniff them out. As far as Emmanuel Lewis went, came from Brooklyn, family intact. Had his whereabouts and withal, and would not give in to this. Maybe Michael sniffed that out.
I think you guys wanted him to sniff something
maybe
out.
Maybe he sniffed that out.
Dude, I'd pay money if Michael sniffed me out just so I could tell the story.
Can I ask Emmanuel Lewis a question, which I would hope no one would ever ask me because I would lie. How old are you these days?
Oh, you know, my stock answer is 1 year older than my last birthday.
Or you can go with 29, like Teresa's been going for the last 14 months.
Okay, I'll take it.
For a couple years.
I'll take it.
It's impossible to tell.
Thank you.
I would have no idea how old you are. And your medical, you have no medical condition or anything like that, right? You're fine.
No.
You're just small in stature, but there's no situation that causes that.
No.
Right. When I did celebrity boxing with Gary Coleman, I went for the kidney punch, and then they told me he didn't have any.
Oh, my God.
So I was just wondering, there's nothing wrong with you.
Oh, Daddy, come on.
Nothing wrong with Emmanuel Lewis?
It's my job. It's my job, bro.
Kicking
it. All good, dude. You got a new player.
Now, kicking it old school, Emmanuel plays Emmanuel Lewis in Kicking It Old School.
Yep.
Jamie Kennedy and Maria Menounos, is she as hot in person as she is on TV?
Oh, yeah.
These guys are obsessed with her. Is she that hot?
She's pretty hot. She is pretty hot. Oh, we've got some.
Can you satisfy her?
Babe, you know what I mean? I don't think I have any problems.
Do you have a girlfriend? No, are you married? What's this story?
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You do have a girlfriend.
Oh,
sure.
No, not yet.
He's
not yet, as in not ever or not yet since your last breakup?
Not yet. I'm just dating. I'm just enjoying dating.
What's going on with Grace Jones?
I'm enjoying, you know, the wonderful world of dating. And, you know, every now and then I have a girlfriend or whatever, but, you know,
Have you been married before?
Never been married.
Do you not want to be married?
One day I will settle down. I've not settled yet.
I know you look like you're 14, but you're 37. I mean, you should be thinking about getting married, right?
He just goes random.
32?
Yeah.
He just goes random.
I think I'm 29, yeah.
29. Yeah. Stick with that. It's working for me.
Well, I'm just saying, you seem like a young person, and you look like a young person. But
I bet you get laid all the time.
But it's time to get married, right?
Yeah.
No.
I don't know. You know, I think, you know, it's all about where you are and what you're doing and, you know, what your mindset is and, you know, when you're ready to settle down. And I'm working on it.
You're working on it.
I'll tell you something right now, my friend.
It's a work in progress.
I've been married to one of the most wonderful women in the world for 17 years. And I drank a little too much during our marriage, but I got sober. And you know what she gave me as a present for my 1 year anniversary of being sober?
What's that?
A divorce summons.
Yeah.
Okay, so it keeps on giving.
You might not want to necessarily settle down.
You know, it's hard.
By the way, she's taking my heart and $3 million cash with her.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bring Emmanuel Lewis down. He has an infectious joy.
Wow.
I think
I'm trying to get some infectious like within 2 weeks.
Do you want to have kids?
Eventually, yes. Mm-hmm. I'd love to have kids.
All right.
That would be hot.
You want kids, you want a marriage, just not yet.
Just not like this month.
Okay. But you are dating.
Absolutely.
All right.
Enjoying every bit of it.
All right. Anyone we've heard of? Any celebrities?
No.
Who have you nailed? Have you got Brooke Shields?
Come on.
Raven Simone. I'll bet you did her.
Nah.
I guess.
Emmanuel Lewis, Kicking It Old School is the name of the movie. That is this Friday, if memory serves.
Yes.
That's
for
right.
Sure.
April 27th. See him and Jamie Kennedy and my new girlfriend, Maria Menounos. And Vivica A. Fox, by the way.
Vivica is so hot. Hilarious.
Vivica Fox has good bones. Like, that's some good, that's good breeding
that's
stock
right there.
That's
what you say right about
there.
A nice house.
You know?
I just mean,
good bones?
There are
mm-hmm.
people that are cute.
I never heard that
And
before.
There are people that are good looking. And then there's people where you go, this person's genetically superior to me. That's what Vivica.
I don't know what you're talking
that's
about.
That's what Vivica Fox
Vivica
is
Fox
to me.
Vivica Fox is off the chain. That's what she is. She's bananas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure?
For sure.
Almost
for
sound
sure.
white when you say that, man. Emmanuel Lewis, we'll take a break. When we come back, let's see. Topics. Well, Bonaducci drove here in the nude.
How did you? Well, you didn't know I was naked, so I told you I was naked. I'm in a big truck. You can only see my shoulders.
I saw the snail trail leaving the truck.
I just threw up in my mouth.
I had to change
Short
clothes
legs.
In my car.
No. I drove from my house, particularly purposely, all naked except for my cowboy boots.
I've driven.
Do we all need to know this?
I've driven quite a few miles in the nude as well. So we'll share our driving.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Why?
While nude.
Well, you'll have to wait to find out.
Hey, buddy, I wasn't hanging around with Michael Jackson in the mid-80s. I had to make my own fun, son.
Why do you need to...
I wasn't on the shoulders of some security guard going to the Thriller set. I was kicking around a goddamn ball of foil in North Hollywood trying to...
Oh, you're going to drive around naked. You start making accusations, little bastard.
I don't understand. I don't get it, dog. But I'm sure we're going to find out.
You're going to find out next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what not to watch on TV tonight. At 6 on the Fox Movie Channel, don't watch If the Shoe Fits, a modern retelling of Cinderella with Rob Lowe as a fashion mogul and Jennifer Grey as a shoe designer. At 7 on Sleuth, be sure to miss Miami Vice. Crockett gets amnesia and believes he's the head of a crime family. And at 9 on Oxygen, definitely don't watch Tyra Banks. Sex addiction is discussed with special guest Dr. Drew Pinsky. That's what not to watch. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, real quick, can I throw in what to watch? Anybody see Adam's review from the Village Voice?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They love you, man. Listen, I'll just give you the opening line. A surprisingly charming Adam Carolla anchors this likable comedy from the director-producer of Kissing Jessica Stein. And then they just go on to say who Adam plays in that. They're shocked that you can do both so well. They're big fans of the radio, apparently. And then go on to say how good you are. So I just wanted to say real quick, congratulations. The Hammer is going to Tribeca this weekend. That's why Kimmel will be in. But congratulations. The Voice can be notoriously cruel. So you deserve a slap on the back.
You.
You're welcome.
And we just hope that, in life, who's blowing up? It's not me, is it? Thank you for bringing that up. Yes, I'm going to Tribeca Film Festival tonight, and Kimmel will be in here tomorrow. And all I want to say is we didn't get accepted in the Sundance Film Festival. And part of the reason is the guy who ran the Sundance Film Festival announced before he saw our movie, I'm not an Adam Carolla fan. Now it's probably, I'll do the Sundance math. Guy's probably sporting some hemp Birkenstocks, living out in Santa Monica. Didn't like a couple of the jokes I made about the gays. Maybe didn't like a couple things I said about Iraq. Maybe didn't like a couple things I said about Rosie. So decided in advance, this is not the kind of movie that's going to make it into his film festival because he doesn't agree with my point of view / politics. You're not doing your job.
Right.
If that's the way you're approaching your art, your job is to watch this and whether you agree or disagree with what the person says during the day. At night, he made a movie and you either like it and it's either good enough or it isn't. I don't think history will be kind to his decision, but I don't like that goes on in this society. I can't tell you how many bad reviews I have gotten by people who decided they didn't like us, didn't like what we stood for. I mean, especially, from doing Breaking Bonaducci, been doing The Man Show as well.
Right.
I had
the decline of Western civilization.
I had people give that show horrible reviews because they were, you know who they were. They were those college types. Too hip for the room, couldn't get a joke, and decided they were misogynistic pigs before they started to write down what we were doing. And to me, it's like sending a movie reviewer to go review, I should say, sending a restaurant reviewer to go review a restaurant where they don't like the food in advance. Like, I don't like Thai food. Go review the Thai food restaurant. I don't like Thai food. Well, go review it. So you come, you go eat the Thai food. It could be the greatest Thai food in the world, but you write a bad review. You don't like it. Would that ever work, by the way? Is there such a thing as taking a heterosexual Republican white guy and sending him to some play that Oprah produces? Where it's
Color Purple the Musical on Broadway.
Now I say in advance, I don't like this. This isn't my cup of tea. And then I go watch it, and then I write a scathing review of how bad it is. Well, my editor pulls me aside and says, you can't write that. And I go, why not? I don't like that kind of stuff. Bunch of chicks mincing around, getting in touch with their whatever. That sucks. And your editor would go, no way. No, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll tell you who's going to review this play. We're going to get a heavy set woman of color to go over there, who's half a lesbian, who's a big fan of Oprah. She'll go review the play. That'll be fair. Do they don't do that with the man show.
No,
they don't get some beer swilling guy who got thrown out of junior college and has to use Bonaducci's word perfect where he talks into
can't spell.
Right, where he talks into things he had to spell. They get some snotty half a you do the I don't think we can say it anymore, half an F guy who went to NYU to go there and look down his nose at our show. Well, that's not the way you review something.
No.
I like Thai food. I want to know if the Thai food is good or not, not whether you're allergic to it, you snob.
You know what I don't like? I don't like the double-edged review. The New York Times, that they even bothered with breaking Bonaducci was an honor to me. Yet on the other hand, they said, we wondered what would come next in reality. Live executions. But it wasn't. It was breaking Bonaducci, and it's more disgusting. That's what the New York Times said. Then they blamed me personally for the decline of Western civilization.
Well,
then they said, but under no circumstances can we not admit that Mr. Bonaducci has changed the face of television forever. I mean, good or bad, the New York Times said I changed the business I am in by doing what I did.
I never got that but on the end when I was
but I'll bet they blamed you.
Neanderthal.
When somebody sent me a clip of the man show with a giant lady's boob, or lady with a giant boob smashing a beer can in front of you, I thought, wow, this guy's a genius.
It's called performance art, Bonaducci. You know what we ought to do, just off of this? We should all bring in our bad reviews. Teresa, I'm sure you have a shoebox filled with those babies at
home.
I've
only gotten one, but I've never forgotten it. I could recite it. It was that painful.
Wow.
Why don't we make a note, Angie, to bring in our worst reviews? Bonaducci, you go ahead and pull one. T, you bring in your one bad one. I'll choose from my many bad ones. As I've said, right now, if I do a project that gets 4 stars, I'll still be minus 3 stars. Because I've done projects that were minus 4 stars. I would argue is not mathematically possible. But I do. I'm one of the only guys working who owes stars.
In the star world.
I owe 7 stars.
In the star world, he not only was given what's called a red dwarf, now he has to work with one. That's how bad his
The man been. Show's gotten minus 3 and minus 4 stars many times. All right, driving while naked will go quick. Bonaducci pulled up today naked. Why?
Well, I actually thought that it made really good sense. It was cutting out the middleman. I've been coming too close to being late, and that panics me, and I drive unsafely, and I run red lights, not just arrows.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is I work out. I time it out that I work out to the last second, run through a shower, get dry off, get dressed and come to work, and then either I have started to re-sweat because I really didn't cool my body down just by taking a quick shower, or I've taken too long to get ready, and whatever, it's a big hassle. So last night I put a towel on the driver's seat of my car, threw in what I would wear to work on the passenger seat, worked out this morning in just my underwear. Then when the alarm went off that you were at your last minute, I just ran through the shower, got clean, covered myself in tag just to bother you guys, and then just got in my cowboy boots because why? I wouldn't, it's wet and cold. Right. So I put on my boots. And then I went out of the car stark naked, sat on the towel, figuring I would be dry and smelling good by the time I got here. And I was right. And I don't believe, because I drive this giant Nissan Armada, nobody saw anything more than my shoulder. I don't think anybody can positively claim they saw me driving naked today. But I did it for the sake of expediency and to be on time and still get in my workout to the very last second. I think it may have been an odd choice at this hour because it's easy to get pulled over because people think you've been out all night.
Right.
But that was my reasonable choice.
So if you had gotten pulled over, you would have had 2 bloody hands from boxing and been naked in cowboy boots at 5 in the morning.
I thought about that, but I figured a cop would buy it. I'd give him my license, my registration. I mean, he might give me an extra ticket for being naked. I might even arrest me, maybe.
An extra ticket.
But I think he would give me a ticket for whatever made him pull me over in the first place. But if I said, listen, I got 2 fights coming up. I was dripping sweat. I don't want to show up at work dirty. I cleaned off, and I don't want to get my clothes and blah, blah, blah. I think he'd have gone, okay, stupid story, but I totally believe
you. Will this be your regular regime now?
It works really well. I'll try it again tomorrow. Why, you want to ride next to me?
I'm just thinking
the shotgun.
Poor guy's going to get the car after you turn it in at the end of the lease.
He puts the towel down, though.
Yeah. A big, thick beach towel.
Nah, all right. Still.
By the way, go to Cerritos Nissan. Ask for the Danny naked sweat car.
Somebody's going to find a red pube in that ashtray
at some
point. Well,
that's the first rule of pubes. They want off.
That's right.
They always end up off.
They look at your nads as a sinking ship.
I don't have any anymore. Remember that lady that shaved them? I decided I like them. I liked it that way, so yeah. I bought a whole body shaver so I don't have to do the whole thing in the shower, and I just kept going. I'm hairless now, down to my knees.
As gay as this may sound, I used to frequently drive home from the beach nude with my male buddies.
You were all nude?
Yeah, we'd all nude in the car.
Because you had sand in your bathing suit and such?
No.
Sandy is buddy.
Really? What it was about is... As I was sort of half kidding with Emmanuel Lewis, who, when I was explaining to him, we didn't have video games or Michael Jackson to hang out with. We didn't have much to do. Nobody had any money. We never had any money on us. Our families never really. The whole idea of entertaining your children or keeping them occupied or keeping their little minds busy, not so important when I was growing up. It was pretty much, hey, it's not raining. Why don't you leave the house and I'll see you back here 2 hours after the streetlights come on. See ya. And they just throw you out of the house and you would do something. You would figure out something to do. We would play a game called Ditch. I think if I told a kid to play ditch these days, he would ditch his fist in my ass. I really do. I just think he would go, are you high, Pops? I'd go, here's how the game is played, son. You get 10 of your buddies. You all stand around the blacktop of the schoolyard. One of the guys is it. The rest just start running in different directions. And then you just chase a guy on foot in circles until one of you gets too dizzy and falls down. That's pretty much it. There's no ball involved. There was no anything involved. There's no joystick. It was just ditch. You just ran and ran and ran. And the other thing we would do is just beat the crap out of each other.
Right.
We didn't have anything to do other than get another guy in a headlock and start wrestling. I didn't have an electronic battleship, much less.
When I was your age, television.
Video games. I was like Charlie Brown. I had a football that had no threads in it that I found at the park. I had a, I used up, you know, in Little League when he hit home runs, I used up those balls playing with them. I had, you know, they'll give you the ball, they'll put the date on it, they'll give it to you, hey, here's your home run ball, you can look at it when you're this age and remember when. I don't have any of those balls because it was a good, real baseball, and eventually it had to get put back into play, and then it would go on the schoolyard, it would go in someone's ivy, and that was the end of the home run ball. So we just used whatever we had, and borrowed my dad's car, went to the beach every other week during summer whatever, and just to make things a little more exciting, driving home, decided to do it in the nude. So we'd do it, and we'd go, you know, hang the ass out on the 101, you know, looking at some chicks driving a car, some trucker or whatever. And we just go as far as we could. As a matter of fact, we convinced one of our friends at a small street. You know when the small street would pull up to the major boulevard? Ventura Boulevard runs down the San Fernando Valley. Some small street, and the signal would never change. So people would run out and push the button.
Yeah, I do that. Yeah. I still do that.
We convinced this guy nude to jump out of the car, go push the button, and jump back in the car, except for the part where we took off and turned right, and he was standing on Ventura Boulevard completely naked.
I wonder if I could get across Wilshire and back completely naked without getting in trouble.
I would.
You mean
when we first started? No, but like at 5:30 or 5 in the whenever we start, 6, like right at 6.
I think you could.
Yeah.
I bet you could. I bet you could still streak if you really wanted to.
Yeah. Now, I can't remember. I think it was my buddy Carl who went out and did that. The chances of us not pulling away once he got out of the car were. Are you kidding, Carl? Please. It was so funny. Everyone used to beat the crap. I used to tell my buddy Ray, I'd say, listen, Ray, please, I'm wearing a new shirt. Let's not beat the snot out of each other. Please. Because Ray would take your button shirt, grab it at the collar, and pull it until all the buttons popped off, and you'd destroy everything you had just in the name of we have nothing else to do. And I would always say to Ray, like, Ray, please don't give me a wedgie. Please don't pummel me. Please don't rip my shirt. And Ray would always go, I wasn't going to, but you just reminded me. And then he'd dive on me.
Well, I used to have to change my shirt in the car when I first moved here because
I had
a Honda. We used to call it the Quaalude because it was slow, but it was a Prelude.
Mm-hmm.
86. And it had no air conditioning. And it was so hot. And I'd have an audition. And I didn't want my shirt to be covered in sweat. So I'd hang the shirt.
Right.
And put my bra in my purse. And then when I'd get about a mile away.
Boob free, just boobs out.
I'd have a tank top or
free
something.
Boob in it.
An A cup, no one cares. No, so
you know what? That's the fuck crap the girl said. Do you hate that? Oh, there's something that I don't have any. There's nothing to see. Yeah, then pull your shirt up.
Yeah.
Something to see, just pull it up right now.
That's
right. Okay, they don't give me any crap.
So I drive on the freeway.
Junk.
I drive on the freeway.
Yeah, I'll still show it to you.
And I'd have to put the bra on under my, you know, and there was at least a 60 seconds where I would have nothing. And I'd check next to me in the lane.
Jewish evil Knievel.
That is sex with
driving braless for almost 60 seconds.
It's a stunt on Jewass to see if anybody would notice. Nobody ever noticed. But there is that moment where I think
Jewass.
This would be horrible if anybody looked into the Quaalude and saw me naked.
Yeah, there was a horrible combination of no air in vinyl back seats that made for you getting out of the car. I would have a sweaty ass.
Yes, me too.
I would be sitting on my hairy ass and sweat right through the back.
Yeah,
right.
Dripping down your cleavage. Not
give me a break.
Yeah, I hate that. Cleavage thing.
What's going on in the news, T? What's coming up?
Well, Dr. Phil has this to say.
Shame on you.
To a celebrity, and I will tell you who he's angry at.
We'll find out next on the news on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where a decision has been made and two people have been sentenced to the notorious Alcatraz Island. They'll compete for their freedom and $2,500. Go to AdamCarolla.com now to check out the contestants and cast your vote for who you think will make it through the night. Then check back Friday morning for all the video coverage of their overnight competition on AdamCarolla.com. Thanks to The Condemned, in theaters this Friday, starring Steve Austin. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it's my show, but it's now time for, and I kid you not, my favorite part of the show, Teresa Strasser and the news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
And let's be clear for a second. Not my favorite part because Teresa is so good at it, but because of my witty commentary.
Actually, I was going to go with the same thing about my witty commentary. But I tried to fool her into thinking that she's so good that she leads us into our witty commentary.
Yeah.
Well,
there's a lot of big news today.
Yes. Listen, we hit the home runs. She's the tee.
Right. Someone's got to be the tee that sticks
like that.
In the ground.
It's like that, faux show.
Do I have to be a tee or can I at least be a pitcher?
You can be a catcher.
All right.
Well, let me pitch this to you. Big news today, both in politics and in pop culture. Big news. So I'll start with politics. Senator John McCain is going to announce his bid officially for the 2008 presidential campaign. He's sure going to announce today at 8 o'clock Pacific time. He's a 70-year-old ex-Navy pilot and Vietnam War veteran. If elected, he would enter the House as the oldest first-term president. I thought he and Jon Stewart had a very interesting debate about the war on The Daily Show. Let's take a listen.
They say that asking for a timetable or criticizing the president is not supporting the troops. Explain to me why that is supporting the troops less than extending their tours of duty from 12 months to 15 months, putting them in stop loss, and not having Walter Reed be up to snuff. Mm-hmm. How is it? Mm-hmm. How can the president justify that? How can he have the balls to justify that?
All I can say is that if you talk to these young men and women who are fighting, they'll tell you they think it's a worthwhile cause and that they're fighting for freedom. And all I'm saying, the overwhelming majority of them do.
Yeah. John, I saw that later on. We have the same agent, by the way.
You and John McCain?
Yeah, Stewart, sorry.
Oh.
Wish I had his reps. I think CAA does it. Well, first off, here's the thing about McCain. As far as most people in the country know, you were running for president 2 months ago, and we told you then we didn't care. Now he's announced it again. I just assumed he'd already thrown his hat in the ring. But a few thoughts. One is the age thing. I don't care about the age thing. I don't know why anyone else does. He's a young 70. There are guys out there that are 90 that play the blues guitar every night in a club and then bang the bejesus out of your girlfriend. That's a very young 90. Then there are people I know that are 50 who, when they get out of their chair, make a grunting noise. It's about not how old you are, you know, chronologically, but there's 70-year-olds that are very virile, and then there's 70-year-olds that are decrepit. It's not about how what your license says. It's about how your spirit is, and McCain seems to be very spirited, very lively, very lucid guy. So as far as the age goes, what's the difference between having a 63-year-old guy in there and a 70-year-old guy in there?
And by the way, as long as you finally brought it up, the 90-year-old guitarist is the real reason Gretchen and I are getting a divorce. I told you about my thing with guitar players.
He was virile.
Lucius is finally come clean.
I just couldn't take. Well, I don't know if it was clean, but I
Well, McCain is trailing Giuliani in national polls, and a lot of people believe it's because of his close association with the president, and most Americans are against the war.
Well, and the thing that Jon Stewart says, which was fair, it's unfair, and I support the troops, and I support the war, too, although I'm not totally even sure what that means. When somebody says, hey, those troops are there for a reason, and if you talk to those troops, anytime somebody brings the troops into it, it's unfair because it hurts the debate, because of course you don't want to argue with 21-year-olds who are putting their life on the line on a daily basis, who think they're doing the right thing. That's not what the argument is about. It just isn't. And as much as I like to defend the war or defend McCain, you can't evoke the troops all the time. It's not fair.
Absolutely. And I think one of the biggest lessons out of Vietnam is that you can support the troops without supporting the war.
Yeah, although I don't know if that went down in Vietnam.
That's the reason why it's a lesson learned. Because the veterans came home and everyone hated them as though the war were their fault.
I know. All right. They call me baby killer.
I know. And that you never got over that.
Now, wait
pain.
A minute. They call me baby spice. It's
one or the other.
One or the other.
Okay.
One or the other.
Now, as you know, Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger's poor daughter, Ireland.
Those kids not getting along?
Apparently they're not getting along.
I haven't talked to Baldwin in a while.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard this.
I said we should bring him and the missus over for dinner. Huh?
I wouldn't.
Problems?
About a 6-year fight.
Those kids will weather the storm. They'll push it.
The good news is you're fired.
Well,
I got to tell you, these guys are so helpful to me. And Gretchen and other divorcing couples.
Right.
Yeah.
What not to do.
Maya, I was with somebody at the TV Land Awards. I hosted a B-list at best, and I would have thought a broke B-list.
Right.
His divorce, just over custody, not they had separate assets, just over custody rights. He spent $750,000, and she spent more.
Of his money.
No, of her money. She was rich.
Oh, she was rich. Well, the thing, speaking of...
When you hear that kind of stuff in 6 years, it reminds you... You know, Gretchen says something I don't like, and instead of going, hey, I won't have that, you know, I don't do that anymore. I say, okay, whatever you say.
It is an interesting point. I'll bet you that a lot of couples that are going through this right now saw this very sobering tape played by Baldwin and all the hubbub and just looked at each other and went, please, are we gonna do this too?
It's a cautionary tale, and unfortunately, this voicemail from Alec to his daughter, Ireland, got out. It's not clear how. Mm-hmm. He calls her a rude little pig and threatens to straighten her out, etc. Meanwhile, it was all aired in public. Now, Dr. Phil has commented, and he seems to be blaming...
That's my porn name, by the way. I spelled Phil differently.
I got it. He claims
Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil McGraw claims to be blaming Kim Basinger.
It was... It was Dr. Phil my ass, but it's a different name.
Here is Dr. Phil speaking about the situation on Extra.
An 11-year-old child doesn't pick up the phone and call somebody and leak information like that. Some adult did this, and shame on you for doing it.
Yeah, move over Duke LaCrosse. There's a new porn name sheriff in town. His name is Dr. Phil with an F.
What's he a doctor of?
He's a year-old PhD, but I did a show with Gretchen at the height of Breaking Montanucci when I was drunk and mean and horrible. And
right.
I think Danny actually answered your question, by the way.
He was polite to me.
Yes.
And looked at Gretchen like, I mean, he wasn't impolite to her, but I was an animal, and she remained a lady through the whole show.
Right.
And if Eve had to pick sides, which would be hard to say he did, but he didn't lean on me any harder. Like, this wasn't your fault when it blatantly was. You know, he doesn't, I think he might not like chicks that much.
Well, really? Dr. Phil with an F loves the ladies, so I'll tell you that. Yeah, I agree with him. I mean, anybody could snap and leave a message like this. Let's be honest. And this part where every person who does any newscasting or social commentary pretends like it's out of range for most Americans, most certainly them, is a dishonest, holier-than-thou, stupid, pious, I'm up on the mountaintop looking down on your little people kind of argument. Of course, almost everyone I know is capable of snapping, and especially when they're leaving it in the form of a message.
Absolutely. We've all said stupid things.
So I agree with Dr.
I disagree, and I'll kill you if you say that again. Oh, sorry.
Rosie O'Donnell. Mm-hmm. This is the lead story right now on CNN.
I got it on my phone already.
It was first broken by TMZ, and now it's confirmed by CNN. Mm. Rosie O'Donnell will be leaving The View. She will stick it out through the end of the season, which is, I believe, in June, and then she will be gone. TMZ is saying that The View honchos are already searching for her replacement.
Well,
she will be missed.
It's going to take quite a
moment
to fill that big stool. literally, she has an oversized stool. Here's what I know about Rosie and about everyone who's like this, because I'm very good friends with somebody who worked very closely with her for quite some time. She starts off all Chub Club cutie patootie,
right,
and then turns into a witch. She doesn't know. Obviously, she had a horrible upbringing and something horrible was done to her repeatedly. And then these people don't know what it's like to not have controversy and chaos. So what they do is, if they don't find it, they'll create it.
Right.
So you go to a place of work and you start saying things and pointing fingers, and before you know it, people are trying to discipline you, and then you get what you want. You've recreated that chaotic environment you grew up in, which is, they're coming after me, they're attacking me, everybody. The reality is she could have sat in that stool for 20 years, made a lot of money, and had a good time, but she spun out, started going after people, stepped over boundaries, people tried to rein her in. She then, in her mind, became a victim, because she'll not rest until she's a victim, and now, once again, she's been victimized.
What if she's leaving because she has bigger fish to fry in entertainment?
I don't think that's going
to happen.
Possibly
have anything larger to fry.
That's
my guess. There's nothing larger than that chicken fry.
I think she'll definitely have opportunities, but once that happens, once she gets her own daytime talk show, once she goes into nighttime, once she does whatever it is she's going to do, hang out and wait about 6 months.
Chaos will ensue.
And then see who gets fired, see how many executive producers get fired, see how whatever. And, you know, it's the same thing Rosie, the other Rosie used to do, Roseanne Barr, back in the day. And what they'll say is they can't handle a woman. They can't handle a lesbian. They can't handle, just because I'm overweight, or just because. No, because you're a C. That's why we can't handle you. And it's that way with most people. Let's face it. Everyone loves to do that. Because I'm black, because I'm a woman, because I'm a lesbian, because we all have versions of those people that we love.
Wow.
That are black, that are lesbian, that are female, that are whatever. It's the a-hole part of you that we have a problem with.
Well, we are going to get to more news about American Idol soon in the show, but I will just play you these words from Simon Cowell from last night's show.
I mean, that really was a vocal masterclass.
I'll tell you who he was talking about. It was the big Idol Care show, and tonight, of course, will be more of that. And in closing, Danny Bonaducci alluded to it earlier, but your movie, The Hammer, which will be at the Tribeca Film Festival, was reviewed by The Village Voice, and they said a lot of kind things, including the schlubby former host. Well, the schlubby's not nice. And you're not schlubby. That's rude. The schlubby former host of The Man Show maintains a breezy on-screen persona that belies the hard work it surely took to become such a convincing pugilist. Check out those skills on the jump rope. And then the reviewer goes on to say, you can't beat that ironic Eye of the Tiger montage for pure comic gold.
Thank you.
Congratulations on that. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. You, CNN.
And as I've said, and Kimmel, if you're listening, turn your radio off. But if I'm the schlubby one, then Jimmy's now morbidly obese. It was one of these things where, as I've said, in the past, we've had reviews where they've called me from the man show.
Right.
They've been pointing me out, and they've said, the braying sports aficionado. They were trying to put me down. And it's like, yeah, we did 100 man show episodes. I never talked about sports. So Jimmy did the sports on K-Rock, and then Jimmy did the Fox football pregame show.
Right.
So did they mean Jimmy when they said the Brang sports aficionado, since I'm not known for talking about sports on the man show? Or were they talking about me being wrong, and when they say the schlubby one from the man show?
Well, let me ask you this in brief.
Right, you're trying awful
hard. I know you were nervous about the premiere, the red carpet, all the celebrities, and then really showing your movie for the first time, which is a vulnerable thing, and now that you've had this review, do you feel better?
No. I'll never be right, if that's what you're asking.
Look, no, I mean, do you feel less nervous about the experience?
No, I haven't. I didn't process that or factor it in. I'm actually excited about it. I'm not really nervous about it. I think it's a good product that'll be well received. But anytime you're doing something new, I think, you know, if somebody reviews me doing radio or doing some Comedy Central show or something like that, you hope you get a good review, but not nearly as much as if you're heading into a new, well, speaking of braying sports aficionados, I think when Michael Jordan played basketball and had a bad game, he didn't care. But I think when he went in to try his hand at baseball, I think he was really praying for a good game and a good review.
At least once.
It was new for him. He hadn't been, and I'm not saying I'm the Michael Jordan of radio, but what I'm saying is I'm established in other areas. It's not as important. I've had good reviews. I've had bad reviews. Doing my first movie and getting panned would be...
painful.
No, devastating. All right. T, thank you for bringing that up. And speaking of Teresa, going to keep her party rolling with American Idol. I saw it last night.
You did?
Yes, I did. I have many thoughts on it. Not that I have right now, but that I'll formulate in between yelling at my assistant. Between commercial breaks, and we'll do American Idol recap next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to play Guess the Movie Quote with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
Neon before thought.
If you said Superman 2.
Neon before thought.
You're correct. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
A little Ozzy.
Your co-star.
He showed up at the Morongo.
Oh, he did.
He did with
Ray.
Ray, yeah. And they were great. I didn't know they were there until after the show, so I didn't get to do any bits with them. They didn't do it out of ego or anything. They just were backstage when the show was over and were great.
Well,
that's team playing, man.
Those guys are enjoying them. Ozzy's having the time of his life.
I'll bet.
Because,
we're all over him.
Where he comes from. I mean, the guy was being tortured in Nicaragua a few years ago. Now he's heading out to Tribeca.
It is really incredible when you think about it. Someone asked me the other day, well, how's Ozzy in the movie? And I said, Ozzy's really good, which really makes you question whether or not acting is that difficult.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I've said it once, I've said it again. The scariest part of show business is no do-overs. That's what makes award shows scary. You walk out in front of 10,000 people, and if you muff a line, if you step on something, if you fumble something, well, then you just fumbled something. And it's tough when you're doing a talk show or even a sitcom or this, or even a sitcom with a live audience. Now, if you told most people, look, we need you to perform, but if you can't remember what you're going to say or you don't say it the way you want to say it, well, we'll do it again. As a matter of fact, we'll do it again anyway.
Yeah.
We'll do it 10 times.
Yeah.
And then what we'll do is we'll go ahead and take the best one.
Sure.
Or we'll take part of the best one and then part of your second best one, and we'll combine it. Well, don't worry. Well, then How tough is it?
And you would direct Ozzy and you would just say, look sad or look more sad.
Right. I would say, Ozzy, you're sad. And he'd do it. Oh, and I'd be like, Ozzy, too much. This isn't one of your Mexican novellas. Well, reel it in a little bit. So he'd do it a little less. And if he got me mad, I'd yell at him.
And he'd cry.
To act sad or whatever. And he just did it. And he acts sad. And now it's time to act happy. And now it's time to act serious. And you do a few takes and you whack it together. And look, he's not going to be Val Kilmer playing Jim Morrison in The Doors, although I would like to see that. Nice job, idiot. Point is...
Okay, here's a little pink prick. There'll be no more...
But he's able to do it, and this is why I have almost no respect for actors. Now, T.
Yes, American Idol.
American Idol.
Live on American Idol. No retakes. And last night was the Idol Gives Back show. Of course, tonight's the big results show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Gwen Stefani, Pink, Josh Groban, Kelly Clarkson. But last night, the final six sang songs that inspired them. Melinda Doolittle, it seems, can do no wrong. She sang There Will Come a Day by Faith Hill. Yeah. Is that she always seems surprised when she gets praise, and this confuses me. I like humility. It doesn't bother me that she's not arrogant about being such a good singer.
No, I love that, and she's such a sweet soul.
Yeah, why are people angry at her about that?
I don't know, but it'll be awesome if she wins, and then we fast forward 6 months, and she's throwing a bindle of Coke at her assistant.
Right.
And yelling, lick my boots, bitch.
Well, let's take
It'll
a listen.
It'll be great to see her spin out and turn into a diva. So
she
that's
never
why
will.
We should
and
all
she
be
will.
Hoping that Melinda Doolittle wins so we can see the transformation from, shucks, it's glad to be here. I'm just glad to be here, to I don't roll over in bed for less than 50 grand.
Let's take a listen to what Simon had to say.
You're not going to look surprised, are you? Promise? What I loved about that performance was it wasn't a copycat performance. You took a song, you absolutely made me believe you'd recorded it originally. The second half of the song was incredible. I mean, that really was a vocal masterclass.
Nice.
Yeah.
The only knock on her is that she's humble.
Yeah.
That's so terrible.
Yeah, she's sweet.
Yeah.
I like her.
I do too. Blake Lewis.
You're a great big fat person.
Thank God we're so friggin' good. Because
then
we don't have to get the humble
set.
Crap.
Blake Lewis sang Imagine.
There's officially no female left in the competition under 200 pounds at this point.
Melinda's probably under 200. She's short.
Yeah, she's hovering around there. Point is all the bantam, welter, and middleweights have been eliminated from the competition, and it's nothing but cruiser and heavyweights left.
Yeah, although, what's the lightest weight in boxing?
I'd say
flyweight,
yeah, fly. Bantamweight.
Blake Lewis is a flyweight because when he stands next to Ryan Seacrest, he looks to be even shorter than Ryan Seacrest.
Yes, he's a little, which isn't easy to do, yeah.
He's a little bit of an appetizer.
Mm-hmm.
He's adorable and he always looks hip. And last night he sang Imagine by John Lennon.
You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one.
You can someday you can join Sanjaya, Blake, and that day is going to be whenever they vote.
Yeah.
And they will live as one.
Look, if I walked into Dimples and this guy was up on stage, I would just turn around and go, screw it, let's get a bottle and drink in the park.
If you walk into Dimples, I'm just screaming, hey, there's Corolla, does turn out he's gay.
Yeah, I mean, when you're not watching him and you're just listening to him.
No, that didn't sound great.
It's trouble.
Yeah.
Chris Richardson sounded a lot better. I don't know if you remember last week, he was accused of being nasally. And it really sounded to me as though he had worked on it.
Yeah.
Here he is singing Change the World by Eric Clapton. J judges had to say about Chris Richardson. Some people call him Justin Timberfake.
It kind of feels that the competition starts properly tonight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This reminded me of the very first time we saw you, and we said at the time, this guy's got potential. It was a good vocal. It kind of had much more soul in it. It was a kind of more sexy performance. I think he did really well.
Yeah, he's
back. And now, Jordan Sparks, she's the 17-year-old, and they always talk about how mature she is, and they can't believe how young she is. I think this is the only...
The poise,
exactly. I think this is the only performance so far this season that actually gave me a chill. She's saying, "You'll Never Walk Alone" from the musical Carousel, Jordan Sparks. What the judges had to say about me.
Unlike Randy, I thought you were fantastic. Really, I mean, got to tell you, that song is about 60 years old. I think you'd have a hit record with that.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. 2 weeks running, Ben.
Yeah, I don't know where we're heading, but people, you know, you're hearing about, there are these guys now in high school that have beards that are going straight to the NBA at 16 and a half. There are chicks like this that are 17 and first off look like they're 35 and go out on stage like they've been doing it their whole life. What happened to the squirrely teenagers I went to high school with? I would have gone on there. I would have made that, I would have done that fart thing where I put my hand in my armpit and then I would have popped the zit and I would have wet myself and then I would have gone home to masturbate.
No, they're there. They just didn't fall through the net and
they're still there.
Yeah,
now, I don't know if we have time to talk.
The squirrel teenager's still there.
Yes, they are.
Hold on a second. Stephanie?
Yeah.
Hi.
Stephanie, you want to make a comment?
Yes, I'd like to say that I think when Melinda looks surprised, it makes me think that she's not really humble, but that she's kind of fake humble.
Yeah, false humility.
Oh, boy.
Well, I will say this. She may have started off that way, stumbled onto it, and realized people find it endearing, and then
That's what bothers me.
So you're not going to vote for her?
No, I'm not a big fan.
Well, who do you like, Stephanie?
I like Blake the best.
Mm-hmm. Even though arguably the weakest of last night's performances.
Yeah, but he just has that star factor to me that I love.
Mm-hmm. Meaning he's a hot white guy and you're not a lesbian. And you're, yes? You like the ladies? You are a lesbian?
No, I don't. That's a horror. No.
A minute ago you said you were a lesbian.
I heard that too. Why are you denying it now?
Stephanie, where are you? Hey, everybody. She's not coming out of the closet. I'm kicking in the door. She's a lesbian. She's on her way to the driving range to collect some balls. And speaking of balls, boys, sorry, no sale. Stay tour.
Stephanie, you know who could keep you warm on a cold night is Jordan Sparks.
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
No, you're wrong.
All right. Stephanie, where are you going? What do you do?
I'm going to work. I teach at a company in Sacramento.
Uh-huh. You teach people how to be lesbians?
Right.
No.
You teach welding?
No.
I don't understand. You work with...
I teach computers.
You teach computers?
I do.
To lesbians, right?
Yes,
or you teach lesbian computers? Okay, listen, I'm confused. Hey, everybody. We got a, what is it, an IT? What do they call it? IT guy. Now you go ahead and put a T in front of that IT, and now we're talking.
The problem is you can't plug those computers in because, you know, you need the male jack to plug in the female jack.
Yeah, right.
Based on that, you just slam them together computer. All day.
It's all female to female.
Battery power.
Just rub them together.
Well, all right, thanks, T, Stephanie. Where were we? Yeah. Look, it's great to know. Seriously, we kid around a lot. And we were making fun of Stephanie. But it's great to know that we have that kind of fan base in the lesbian community.
All right. I appreciate it. Yeah, that was it for American Idol, of course. Tonight is the big show with the rumored duet between Celine Dion and Elvis is Ghost.
Ghost.
I am never going to get tired of this.
Brian hates American Idol. He just called it. As we were loading these clips during the commercial break, he's like, when does this scourge end?
Well, as I've said many times and argued with many people, I don't like the first 6 weeks of American Idol because I don't like them traveling from town to town making fun of people that are clearly insane or putting them on.
Right.
But now when you can pick a horse, it becomes kind of interesting.
I love it because it's a communal event. I mean, this random Stephanie, this lesbian, calls us in, and we can all discuss Blake and Melinda. It's something we can all talk about.
That's right. Her and her life partner were heading down the street in their Subaru Forester, and she took the time to pick up the lesbian line and call us, and God bless her.
And speaking of lesbians, Ellen DeGeneres is hosting the Idol Gives Back thing from the Walt Disney Concert Hall in Los Angeles.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I thought we lived in a horribly intolerant society that decided that we would not let any lesbian come on to TV. Remember the reason her sitcom was canceled because she admitted she's a lesbian?
Didn't hurt her talk.
How do we let her back on the air? How's this work? And again, I wonder everybody who does that thing where they're holding an Oscar in one hand but talking into a microphone explaining about how racist society is, except for they're black and they're holding the Oscar.
Right.
Or when Ellen is explaining just how intolerant we are as a society, yet she's doing it from a pile of money. Mm-hmm. How does that exactly work? You know what I mean? How much are you going to listen to a fat guy explaining he can't find a bite to eat? Do you know what I mean? Perhaps he's getting it somewhere.
Yeah, there's a possibility that guy's
now,
eating.
Here's what the subtext is, and no one ever calls him out on it. I am so goddamn good. I've been able to overcome this, thus the pile of money, thus the Oscar. But make no mistake, this is a horribly racist, horribly intolerant, horribly whatever society. How is it you guys make so much money, or how is it we accept? Why is Oprah the richest woman on the planet if we won't tolerate or we won't let? And I know everyone does that thing, oh, don't be naive, Corolla. But listen, when you're up accepting the award for or signing the check for or getting the next contract for and saying out of the other side of your mouth how intolerant we are as a society, can we be both? How can Ellen DeGeneres be as successful as Ellen DeGeneres is after she announced she was a lesbian, or has things changed that much in 5 years?
Plus, we're far more accepting than we've been given credit for.
Of course.
Does anybody remember that Liberace was a heartthrob?
Right.
Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah, he used to talk like that and wear those capes in the 50s. And was a heartthrob. And when the news came out he was gay, most of America was shocked.
That's right.
You know, all you have to do is not tell if you don't want that. You want to tell because it's as hot as it can be right now. As a matter of fact, I would like to come out right now and say, if I don't sleep with Corolla soon, my head's going to explode.
You've got it back.
I've been holding it back. I mean, I'll take Brian because I'm just gay.
Right.
But I want Corolla.
Yeah. All right.
I just want to get that out there.
From your mouth to God's ears. We'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, we're going to play a game that I believe I invented.
Monopoly, you egomaniac.
No.
You invented Monopoly?
It's called the same name game.
Yay!
It started when I somehow was thinking about Reese Witherspoon and ex-heavyweight champ Tim Witherspoon. And if you look him up and you look her up and you put their two pictures side by side, you'll never find two people with the same last name that are further apart. 866-901-ADAM. You give us your example. Same name game next.
Guests are calling. I bet they've got nothing to say. Mike August booked another phoner. Brings a
play something. I feel like I invented it. On the other hand, it's so simple and so sophomoric. Somebody must have thought of this long before I, but I'll take credit for it. Brian, should we play the theme song?
Absolutely.
It's the best part of this. Same name game, everybody.
motherfuckers. Suck it.
Yeah, that's hardcore. Jesus. Dave Damashek, everybody.
Those aren't big shoes to fill.
I have some new ones. I have some classic ones. And then we have yours. We have Danny's and Teresa's as well. First, a few of the ones that I'll call classics. Tori Amos and John Amos, the dad from Good Times.
Oh, that's good.
Now, you picture Tori Amos standing next to John Amos, and you just don't get further apart as human beings.
You don't. Hey, my dad used to write that show. That man is... I would describe him in a certain way, but I think these days you get in trouble for that. That's the strongest looking man in the world. He looked like he'd snap you in half.
Yeah.
You know?
And Florida was not Wispy, his wife.
And the other weird thing is he called me personally yesterday for no reason. John Amos.
Yesterday?
Really?
Yesterday.
I hosted the Backstage TV Land Awards and he won something. And I guess he walked by me or something. I don't know what it was. But he called me personally and said, I have a project you'd be perfect for. Call me back.
Really?
And I haven't yet. How weird is that?
If you picture John Amos and you picture Florida, his wife, and you see those two, there's no two, and this is how you know, God rest your dad's soul, but he did a horrible job writing that show, because there's no way those two could have, okay, well, there's no way those two could have created J.J. Walker. Because J.J. Walker was built like a mop handle.
Yes.
And Florida.
Stocky.
She had about 6 rolls in the back of her neck. Her name is Esther Roll. I think she was named after the rolls in the back of her neck. And John Amos was an animal.
An animal.
I mean, his nostrils were bigger than J.J. Walker's head. There's no way biologically that beanpole could have come out of those two behemoths.
That was my favorite show when I was a kid. I love
dug
that
it
show.
Too.
Did your dad come up with dynamite?
No, my dad retired over dynamite.
Really?
My dad went insane.
He took a stand and said, that's too stupid.
No, he's insane. And he sat in his bathroom writing that show, and you could hear him screaming, dynamite! Dynamite! This is what I've been reduced to!
Well.
And then he'd speak Latin for a day.
Wow. Tori Amos, John Amos, George Wallace, big comedian.
Right.
George Wallace,
nice.
You know, his brother, I think, played tackle for the San Francisco 49ers.
Of course,
team. Bay Area girl, you should know that.
Should.
George Wallace and spindly redhead from the Bob Newhart show, Marsha Wallace.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
Hard
very
to get
nice.
Further apart than those two.
That's a good one.
Refrigerator Perry and our old news girl, Rachel Perry. I've seen them both in person. I liked one more than the other. I won't say which. One of them I went fishing with and had the time of my life. Refrigerator Perry is such a load, this guy. He, the whole time I was fishing with him, he was opening my beers for me because we drank, you know, he drank 28 beers
right.
in 20 minutes. And he would open all the beer bottles with his hand. He would literally, he had a hand like a paw, like a bear paw. And he would just put it right on top of the beer bottle and he would just hook it on the inside
right.
of his wedding
That's
ring.
The
and,
truth.
Pop, but it didn't look like there was no movement. You'd hand him the bottle as fast as he took it, as fast as it
nice.
Would come back with no top. And I do remember he wasn't an eloquent man, but I do remember when Jimmy said to him after I had caught myself a 7-pound trout, now,
Jesus,
what do you think of my partner, Adam Carolla? And he looked at me and he said, well, you done worked your way up to a zero.
Nice.
Then he explained to me that he had to go because he was putting a pig in the ground when he got back home. And I thought, Fridge, I want to hang with you, my friend. That's right. He bought a whole pig, not pieces of pigs.
Right, the whole
We
thing.
Buy the chops. We buy the loin. Oh, no. He buys the pig
I think
and he puts it in the ground.
Stock even go up more with you. You know what he does? He's a bricklayer.
I know, but I think his full-time job is really fishing, and then he does a little buttering of bricks every once in a
Isn't
while.
Isn't there another Perry, too, we could throw in and have
Steve
a three-way,
Perry.
Same name? Steve Perry.
Matthew
Steve Perry.
Perry
and Refrigerator Perry, pretty far
Matthew
away.
Perry.
Adam West, Kanye West.
Nice.
My favorite, Colonel Sanders and Deion Sanders.
That's pretty good.
That's a nice one.
Busta Rhymes and Leanne Rhymes. I think they spell it differently. Or maybe they
doesn't
don't.
Doesn't matter.
Make it phonetic.
Either way, it'll work. Well, if we're going phonetic, then we'll go with the one I came up with the other day, which is Mel Blunt, all-star DB from the Steelers, of course, and then James Blunt.
Yeah, that's good.
Willowy singer. Teeth, you got any? Yes. We have a full boat here
I'll
up here as well.
I'll make mine quick. What mine lack in brilliance, they make up for in timeliness. Because we had Emmanuel Lewis on earlier on our show. So Emmanuel Lewis and Blake Lewis from American Idol.
All right, timely.
Timely, very nice. Timely.
And we're having Chuck Liddell, the fighter, on. So I've got another fighter, Matt Hughes and Keisha Castle Hughes.
She is the little
girl from The Whale Rider.
Ah, that's right. All right, stretchy, but all right.
This one's really stretchy, but I think you guys will know General James Doolittle and Melinda Doolittle.
Yeah.
From Idol.
Yes, James Doolittle led the first raid over Tokyo with like B-20.
And can I get away with this one?
First refueling.
Can I get away with this for a fighter? Mm-hmm. Randy Couture and Juicy Couture.
Yeah, I'll give it. Not only will I give you that, I enjoy that. I like that one a lot.
What do you got, Danny?
I've got, and you can stop me when you don't like it. I've got one, two, three, four or five. Here's one that is interesting because it's something she said recently. Whitney Houston, singer, druggy, but has recently come out about following her roots back and that she's the descendant of slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Whitney Houston and Eli Houston. I mean, Whitney Houston and Eli Whitney. Who invented the cotton gin?
Whitney Houston and Eli Whitney. All right.
So I've matched the first and second on that. It was a little tricky, but I just liked it when I heard what she said the other night on CNN. I've also got, I think, go ahead.
No, I was thinking. I was thinking.
Don't let that happen again.
I was thinking it was like a dip that has all my favorite ingredients, but yet I don't want a second bite.
How about this one then? For going from far apart, Sean Stewart, who was in here the other day.
Right, Rod's son.
Retard,
Rod's son.
And John Stewart. Really smart guy. Am I playing in the ballpark now?
You're in the parking lot.
Yeah.
All right, how about this one then?
He's not entered the turnstile.
How about this one then?
Yes.
Karl Marx and Groucho Marx.
All right, let's see. So Karl Marx.
Not that funny of a guy.
Right.
Groucho, that funny of a guy.
I want to like it more than I do.
Yeah, why don't we like that, Marchie?
Tell Danny to move on.
All right, it's my last one then. You should like that one. All right, bitches. This, if you don't like this one, there's no pleasing you, bitch.
Aren't you supposed to go on your MySpace and skim all the cream off of that, baby?
Yeah, put a bulletin out of MySpace.
No, I did not. Because you get them. You're on my friends list. So you know if I did.
All right.
Here's my very last one.
I'm poised. Here we go.
Snow White. And Barry White.
All right. You're now officially back.
All right, I'd like to thank the guy from MySpace on that one. Just came up just this second. That one's in handwriting. I'm not kidding.
Really?
That just came up MySpace this second.
Wow.
Give me a break.
All right.
I remember when T and I were friends.
I'll give you a few.
I love you.
Few new ones. Let's see. How about Chris Tucker and Tanya Tucker?
That's good.
All right. Aretha Franklin and Benjamin Franklin.
Right.
I like it.
Here's one. I think you should know both these players. Clarence Clemens, the big man.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Big man.
And Roger Clemens, the world's whitest man. He's big, so they have that similarity, but he is officially the whitest human being on the planet. He's the, he's the ace for, is he retired?
He's unsigned. He's just sort of hanging out waiting for someone to sign him.
He's, he's going to the Hall of Fame, even though folks aren't big fans of him because he's thrown at every single person who's played Major League Baseball. All right, let's talk to you. This is a good one, but I don't know who else is going to know this one. Shannon?
Hey, Adam, what's up?
What do you have for us? Thank you. What do you got for us?
I got Pro Bowl tight end Antonio Gates.
For the Chargers.
And computer geek, Bill Gates.
All right.
Well done.
Solid. Solid stuff. John?
Yeah.
You have one that I personally enjoy, but I'll let you butcher it.
Okay. It's Hollywood starlet Jane Russell and Nipsey Russell from the 70s and 80s.
First off, timely.
And both famous for their nips.
That's right.
That's true.
Nipsey Russell, who used to rhyme everything he said on, ironically, the Match Game. I think that's the theme we're hearing right now.
Oh, is it?
What are we hearing right now?
Generic.
Oh, no, this is not generic game show music.
This is game show music.
This is the Match Game music.
I don't know, man. I wasn't born.
Yeah, but you're going to die.
That's where the hair fell out of it.
All right. Hey, John.
Yeah.
Thank you. I don't know how we figure out if this is the Match Game music or not, but either way, I'm pretty sure it is, and that's where I first met the great Nipsey Russell.
By the way, Snow White and Barry White came from some guy named Michael.
What's up, I got...
Thanks, Michael.
I got...
Diego?
Hi.
Yeah, what's up, Adam?
What's up?
I got black tennis star living in her sister's shadow, Venus Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin, Bigfoot white comedian, Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I got another one, too. I got Toyota Corolla and Adam Carolla.
Sorry, buddy.
I like that he went with Venus instead of Serena.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah,
was smart.
Not sure what that one. I'm not sure why you'd go with the less famous sister, Joe. But
hey,
I like your moxie, kid. I'll never call the show again. Joe?
Love the show, guys.
What's happening, thank my you. Brother? Who do you got? Same name game.
Two guys couldn't be further apart. NFL Terrell Owens
mm-hmm.
and Hee Haw's Buck Owens.
Nice. Did Buck play the red, white, and blue guitar?
He did. I don't know if that was Buck or Roy, but one of them did.
Yeah, I think it was Buck. That's not a bad idea. You know what I mean? Like, I would have a red, white, and blue tennis racket, baseball bat, guitar, microphone, everything. How much booing could people do? How bad could you be? You know what I mean?
I have Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA guitar that he played at a concert and signed and sold at a silent auction for a charity. I bought it. I have it at home. Yeah.
Right.
How much booing can you... It's the American flag.
Right. Anytime anyone's got any harsh words for you, just grab that Bruce Springsteen guitar and go, come on, buddy.
It's framed. I mean, it'd be a big deal to go downstairs and get it and go, you can't boo me.
Well, it takes some time.
We've had some good calls.
Let's see. Who do you like on there, T?
Well, I like both Jason and Devin.
All right, we'll talk to Lisa. Lisa?
That was out loud.
Teresa likes Jason and Devin. That's why we're talking to you. Go ahead, Lisa.
I've got Spike Lee and Confederate General Robert E. Lee.
Very solid.
And I'll tell you, nobody knows Civil War history like the ladies. At least that's my experience. Every chick I've ever been out with is practically a historian when it comes to Civil War.
Lisa, that works both aesthetically and emotionally.
Yes.
It does. It couldn't get further apart.
Lisa, what do you do? Do you teach...
I am a biochemist.
Ah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm like a hot mad scientist.
Hey, everybody. Well, let me tell you what's hiding under that lab coat. Nada. Let me fire up my Bunsen burner. I got a graduated cylinder. My beaker's overflowing with love. Stage four. Hey, baby, do that thing where you pull off those nerdy glasses and shake your bun loose. As a matter of fact, leave the glasses on and just shake your buns. All right.
Lisa, are you a PhD?
Stay at the office for me, huh?
Are you a PhD?
I'm not a PhD.
Mm-hmm. You know what I have to say about that?
What's that?
BFD, she's hot.
By the way, that's the way I'm thinking of marrying this time around. I'm going to go with my doctor and lawyer or something
going
like that.
Hot,
what do you work on specifically, Lisa, if you can say?
What do I work on cytoskeletal formation of red blood cells and platelets.
See, that'd be bitching.
Sounds smart.
Too much information. Let me tell you something. I was put on academic probation at a junior college. I can only vamp
your
so far.
Your platelets just clotted.
That's right. All right. We need to take a break. I know. Who do you want to talk? You want to talk to Jason or Devin? Who do you want?
Jason. That was how I got you to go to Devin. Didn't work.
I'm going to go to Devin. Devin.
Yes.
Give me your last same name game.
All right. It's Nathan Lane and Sonny Lane.
Mm-hmm. They both love the fellas.
There you go.
But still, very good. Porn star, Nathan.
Hey, they listen to us. They dial our number. Good enough try,
God
buddy.
Love you all. God love tip you. Of the cap to Mike of Danny's MySpace.
Thank you very much, Michael.
We'll take a quick break. We're looking forward to talking to Chuck Liddell.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it? I'm off already.
The Iceman. That's it. But... I don't think he's here yet. He should be here. Oh, he is here.
He's here.
Good, because I didn't want to have to go in there and explain. Oh, wait a minute. Chuck Liddell next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Here's what not to watch on TV tonight. at 6 on the Fox Movie Channel. Don't watch If the Shoe Fits, a modern retelling of Cinderella with Rob Lowe as a fashion mogul and Jennifer Grey as a shoe designer. At 7 on Sleuth, be sure to miss Miami Vice. Crockett gets amnesia and believes he's the head of a crime family. And at 9 on Oxygen, definitely don't watch Tyra Banks. Sex addiction is discussed with special guest Dr. Drew Pinsky. That's what not to watch. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
That man is dead to me. Talk about Tyra Banks. Someone's not dead to me. Chuck Liddell, the Iceman. Boy. You know what I was saying, Chuck, to a friend of mine who does mixed martial arts?
He was saying you're a big puss and he could kick your ass. That's what he was saying.
That was the second part. Listen, Bonaducci.
I'm feeling feisty today.
Really?
He threatens me every time I come in here, so it's okay.
Don't make me take the focus pads out and put things into perspective for you.
Okay, I apologize if we're going to get real.
I was saying that as I was watching Spike in the UFC out of the big fight card out of England, I said, you know, it seems like the UFC a few years back were some really good athletes just going at it. But now people have skills. They're starting to really refine the sport. And I said, it sort of reminds me of women's boxing, which was 10 years ago. It was chicks scrapping, but right. We were going, they're not boxing. They're going at it. Now they're boxing. Now women are boxing. And now in the UFC and in mixed martial arts, you see these guys aren't just fighting anymore. There's some really good technique going on.
Yeah, I mean, the technique is... it's been going up since it started. You know, of all the sports evolved from, I mean, when it first started a long time back, you know, it was just, you know, who can win, a boxer or a kickboxer, who win between a boxer and a wrestler.
Remember Muhammad Ali did that in Japan.
And all that stuff.
Right.
Now it's mixed martial arts.
It's turning into its own sport.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Chuck Liddell, for people who don't know, is always a fan favorite because he's a striker. He doesn't do that. He doesn't roll around on the ground, by the way.
He doesn't. He has to.
Although you're learning to grapple, yeah?
Oh, I've been doing ground fighting for a long time. I wrestled in college, and I was I do jiu-jitsu about 9 years. So
thank you for crapping on my point, but my point is Chuck's game. Chuck's game is brawl and sprawl.
Yeah.
He's on his feet and he's striking people, right. Which is as far as fans go, it's much
it's
nicer.
More fun, yeah,
and it's more fun for me. I mean, that's where I tell you, that's where I'm best able to finish a fight. I mean, I let people up. Why'd you let that guy up?
I've seen that.
Why you let him up? Well, I can finish the fight better standing than I can on my knees, you know, throwing punches.
Easier. Got it.
It's easier for me to finish
fights. As a fan, let me just say, and I'm a new fan, because I'm a boxing nut, and I thought you guys were ruining the sport, and now I see, you know what? It's a better sport in a certain sense, that boxing is an art form where a real-life mixed martial artist would just kill, an average mixed martial artist might kill the best boxer in the world. I'm a third-degree black belt, and if I throw a round kick to your head, you just grab it, and that'd be the end of me. You just twist me out. I mean, I don't know any of that stuff.
Go do it.
Do it.
If you can scare me with the mitts, you think I'm going over there and kicking him in the head?
Well, folks love
it
Chuck.
Really is.
Go ahead, Dan.
I was just going to say, some people have an amazing tolerance to pain. I think I have a very high threshold, and Adam has said he has a very high threshold. So sometimes you get a guy in an arm bar, and it'll take 90 seconds to get him to tap out, and it's just boring. The audience is going, come on, come on, come on. So he lets them up and then just beats their ass back down again, and that's worth watching.
Well, Chuck is, it's an interesting thing because Chuck has 3 losses, and he's avenged 2 of them. He avenged Randy Couture, and he's avenged Jeremy Horn, and now Rampage Jackson is next.
Very excited about that.
He is... I've met him in person. He's a nice guy, but he is a specimen. He's not a sort of pumped up 175-pound guy. He is a natural 215-20 pounds. Probably has to come down a little to make the 205.
Yeah, I'm sure he come. He cuts. He probably cuts from about 20.
About 20 pounds. So he
cuts from. I think he walks around probably 225 when he's off. I'm sure he's not cutting that all at the end, but
right.
But he probably dies somewhere.
And he is no joke. He is the real deal. And he, as I was explaining to somebody where they went, well, Liddell's going to make short work of this guy. I said, well, he has beat him before. Right. I don't know how confident you can be. What happened in the first loss to
Julian? You know, a lot of it, I think, had to do with training and coming up to the fight. And, at some point, I heard him during the fight early.
Right.
And, you know, was a little worried about my cardio at the time, actually. Yeah. You know, I was out there, and so I didn't jump on him and finish it. So, you know, like I normally would, I just right. figure I'd catch up again later on.
Are you doing more cardio now, like running behind Burgess Meredith's car?
I do a lot of cardio, a lot of stuff. We'd gotten away from, I wasn't training at home, and I got away from the guys I was training with for a little bit.
So and you weren't in tip-top shape.
You know, the cardio
I think that was the biggest thing for me in that fight.
There's a sign at the gym I train in, and it says over the ring, fatigue makes cowards of all men. And it's true. The idea of getting hit in the face to me, no big deal at all. The idea of getting hit in the face where you're gasping for breath scares me to death. You know, it's just such a different vibe.
Yeah, and the whole, as far as, I don't know, what's tiring, that mixed martial arts business. Yeah, oh, my
it's
God.
It's the realest of the deals, man.
Yeah, 5-minute rounds, not 3-minute rounds.
And this, of everything but eye gouging and biting.
Between, it's a different kind of conditioning, I think, for wrestling and also for striking. I mean, I could be in great shape for striking and still be in mediocre shape for wrestling. Or the other way around.
Can I ask you a personal question? It'll sound like I'm trying to be a shock jock or funny or something. I'm not. It's a straight question. Do you A, have a cold, B, have you broken your nose recently, or do you just breathe like a friggin' animal?
No, he doesn't. No, you don't normally
breathe like the animal thing is scary.
Cold.
I can hear my headphones going.
I've been sneezing.
Oh,
so
yeah. I kind of like it. It seems scary.
Well, let me make it up to you by saying that, Chuck, you have the number one selling sports DVD 2 weeks now running. It's called Ultimate Iceman.
Nice shot, too.
So if you want to get that.
Move over, Mighty Ducks 2. There's a new sheriff in town. His name's Chuck Liddell. And, you can go down to the Virgin Megastore on Hollywood, and I'm guessing in Hollywood, today at noon 30. Go noon there at 12:30 and see Chuck in person. He's an affable guy, although I wouldn't cross him. But, Chuck.
Yeah, you know what? Do you travel with a bodyguard ever?
Not really, not too often.
Because I would think, is there ever somebody wants to come up and take a shot at the title just off the street, idiot?
I don't get that at all. I mean, I'm laid back anyway, and you'd have to really.
So if somebody came up and said, I think I could take it, you'd probably see something I think you can too, man.
Probably. Well, you should get in a fight, get in the UFC then.
I gotta say, I see that if you see Stallone walking down the street, and maybe even if you see a boxer. Chuck Norris at 60, or David Carradine or somebody.
Ever.
But
mixed
martial arts champs aren't the guys you really want to test. I think you want to test the guys that are supposed to be something that they're not.
You have to be such a drunk crazy to do it to anybody anyway. Just go up and I think I could be the world champion.
Well, why do they call you the Iceman?
I don't get nervous before fights. I mean, I never have.
Tyson used to throw up.
Yeah, my trainer. My trainer said. My trainer had probably 200 amateur fights and probably close to 60 pro fights, and he said he got nervous for every single one of them. I was before my third fight with him. He's like, you're not nervous. You don't get nervous.
They used to call me Adam Kid Makes in His Pants. Corolla for some of the same reasons, but sort of the opposite. So, Chuck, I've also heard, as we were discussing Chuck Liddell in studio, Chuck is, his game is, he's a striker, and he is a powerhouse. I must say, you just check the tote board up there, Sugar Ray Leonard clocked in at 500 and something, and Chuck Liddell, checked in at 600.
We have a punching bag in our studio.
Right, that measures your power. Chuck has pop.
And it looks like he has a long reach.
He has great reach. Here's a great combination. 2-ounce gloves or 3-ounce gloves. Keep in mind, pros in boxing fight with 8 or 10. A good reach.
I fight with 16.
And a ton of pop. I actually crawl inside of a giant glove and try to roll at my partner. That was my technique. I hop at them.
I have a morbid question.
More like spring break.
I have trouble watching boxing because sometimes I get nervous that somebody's really going to get hurt. And I like watching UFC because even though you see blood, it doesn't seem like anyone's ever been killed at doing mixed martial arts.
Not to my knowledge, no.
Right. Not in this country. I'm sure in Mexico that you could. There's a pyramid of bodies. But Chuck, what about boxing? And have you been challenged by boxing?
Guys bring it up. Yeah,
that's
I think what's his name brought it up.
Floyd Mayweather.
Floyd Mayweather. I got 135 pounder at my house to kick his ass. So I mean,
right?
I stayed at my house and he's.
Really?
You know, yeah. Well, my 135 pounder, but MMA, you drop him on his head.
Really?
It would take him all of about, about two,
no,
10 seconds in the fight.
I think
he's, drop him on his head.
He's talking about boxing, right? I mean,
well, no, he's saying a fight.
And they were talking about a fight. That's the way I understood
an MMA
fight. I didn't hear you talk to me, so I don't know. I think he's doing it for PR.
But
I mean,
They're trying to steal some of the MMA thunder.
Yeah, I think he's trying to do that because. But, I mean, I've met the guy. He's always been pretty cool to me, so.
Yeah, plus he's wearing alligator shoes. You can't fight in that. but I want to ask you about you boxing versus mixed martial arts.
Well, I mean, to go back to boxing or kickboxing even, you know, it take time to change my stance again and change my timing and learn how to.
Right.
It take too long to change my timing back to being a kickboxer.
Right.
You know, it's a whole other stance. You can't stay like everyone's like, I get boxing coaches sometimes. I want to change my stance. I'm like, I can't box like that because I'll get dropped on my head every 2 seconds and I won't get a chance to punch anybody.
Right, because you have to be in a stance that's not a traditional boxing stance because you're worried about feet and you're worried about grappling.
I'm worried about, someone shooting in on me
right.
I make it too easy. If you're standing in a traditional boxing stance, you make it way too easy to take it down.
You need a trainer who believes you when you tell him what is best for you in certain areas. Like, Corolla's helping. I got two fights coming up. The celebrity thing, nothing like the real deal like you do. But I told Corolla, unlike other guys I have paid money to train me for these celebrity bouts, I told Corolla, I said, I have no skills. I'm a thug that makes a comfortable living. You can't make me a boxer. And he took me at my word, and he said, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to throw this guy into the corner, do this, and then beat his brains in. I went, good trainer. Guess what I can do.
That's right. I take his strengths, and I make them stronger, and I ignore his weaknesses.
Very nice. I haven't done the phone.
Chuck Liddell in studio. Chuck, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have many questions for you because this whole UFC business is going through the roof.
Yeah.
And you are going to be fighting Rampage Jackson, who I would say would be one of your toughest fights of recent memory and should be a good one. He's beat you once. Chuck says it's not going to happen again. We'll take your questions and I'll bust the focus pads out.
All right.
Really?
Yeah, we'll see what kind of pop Chuck really has. Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci.
Chuck Liddell's mentality is that I'll fight anyone, anytime, anyplace.
UFC fighter, the Iceman, Chuck Liddell, on the Adam Carolla Show.
I have the same motto with a slight modification. I'll fight nobody, anytime, anyplace. Other than that, just that little stipulation, we are on the same page, my brother. Chuck Liddell is in studio. He's going to be at the Virgin Megastore in Hollywood today at 12:30. He's going to be signing his DVD, Ultimate Iceman. He's going to be fighting Jackson. That's right, Rampage Jackson. That is May 26th, and he is on a tour avenging his losses. He has 3 losses. This will complete the triumphant, yes?
Yes, it will. Can't wait.
And he's also decided to sport the gloves. Or I decided. Well, let me say this about Chuck Liddell. He loves fighting so much, he's ready to punch anything you put in front of him.
Right.
And we've had a lot of boxers in here.
Whenever
they come in, it's like, hey, let me bust out the focus pads and see what you got. Okay, that's good stuff. And
yeah, Mayweather said no.
They'll never do it. Sugar Ray didn't want to do it. Sugar Ray did punch the bejesus out of the punching machine, though, 28 times.
Relentless until he got the record.
Right.
Wow.
Right, except for Chuck Liddell has the record.
That's right.
And I actually am in second place, according to that. The point is I brought out the gloves, and Chuck dove into them.
He's already in there, sitting there in boxing gloves.
And he was practicing his combinations during the break, looking pretty tough.
He loves, and that's probably the thing that makes him so good at what he does. He enjoys it, and whether he's entering the octagon or entering the studio, he wants to throw some punches.
Can I ask you a stupid question, Carolla? Just because I think of this kind of stuff. Say you had a billy club, like a policeman's billy club.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, Liddell was already in 18-ounce gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Would you fight him?
Do I have some water-soluble lube?
Nope. You've got a club.
I couldn't do that to Chuck. No, I would not go dry.
He's a friend. I swear to God, there's some guys you know, a baseball bat's not going to help me out here.
Well,
and that's one of them.
The thing about the Billy Club, I don't know why I'm giving you a serious answer, but...
it was a real question. That's interesting.
I've done so much punching in my life that if I had a Billy Club, it would screw me up. I feel like I would be really? More apt to want a punch, I would say.
You want to whack a guy with the elbow, that's the end of that discussion.
Well, maybe
Chuck, you've knocked seven guys out, your last seven opponents.
Yes.
Wow.
Chuck is what we call heavy-handed in the business. He hits hard. And the thing, a lot of guys hit fast, and a lot of guys hit with good technique. But the hitting hard part is a God-given thing. You don't really teach a guy to be heavy-handed. You teach him to be fast. You teach him good technique. You teach him to hit as hard as he can. But some guys just hit hard. And Chuck Liddell hits very hard. And I've seen it because I've seen him punch our heavy bag over here. And I've seen Sugar Ray Leonard do it. I've done it. We have a lot of people do it. Chuck has hit it harder than I've seen anyone do it. I'm going to hold the focus pads for Chuck Liddell.
Chuck can't hear the calls unless I put the headphones on.
Oh, he doesn't. No, leave your gloves on, Chuck. Put the headphones on, Mr. Liddell. Pronto. Now, here's the thing that's funny about us taking some phone calls right now. I was going to stand up and go walk over to Chuck Liddell and hold the focus pads because Danny Bonaducci was going to hold down the fort behind his microphone. For the first time since Bonaducci has been here, he's run out of the studio for no apparent reason.
That was weird. He ran out with intent, and I know he has something important to do. But
if he comes back with a billy club and some KY, it is on, Liddell.
I can ask you the questions that the callers were going to ask as we have them up on their phone.
Punch them up. Steve?
Yeah.
Question for the Iceman?
Yeah, two quick questions, Mr. Corolla. Hey, Chuck, after you beat Rampage Jackson, would you consider fighting up a weight class and fight the winner for the Couture and Gonzaga heavyweight belt?
Good question.
Yeah, well, we've talked about it. Whatever they want, you know, whatever they want to fight.
How much would you have to gain?
I wouldn't have to get any weight.
Really?
Have
you
to
just
stop
go up
weight.
On. Yeah. What are you walking around at weight wise?
About 218 this morning.
So you're a natural 220-pound guy, and what people don't realize is how much weight these guys cut to get down into their weight class.
Well, what does Couture weigh?
He probably walks around about 235, 240. I mean, he's a little bigger in frame, but not so much. And when it comes to mixed martial arts, a couple of pounds is not what it is in the boxing ring, per se.
Yeah, it's a little different, yeah.
So you'll go where the money is.
Yeah, wherever they want me to fight.
I get about you.
All right, Danny.
You're going to hold the mitts.
Danny's back. Right. Where'd you go, Danny?
Well, this might give you an idea of my cardio. I got gloves, and I wouldn't mind just getting tagged by you once or twice.
You want to get punched by Chuck Liddell?
You can do it without killing me, right? You don't have to knock me out.
Tell Danny to move on.
Okay, cool.
Oh, I don't want you to get punched by Chuck.
That's why you fight somebody that's so much better than you that your ego can't get in the way. You could kill me any time.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do anything stupid. I just want to get hit by one of the world's best and say I did it.
Hey, Jacob.
Hey, what's going on?
You got a question for Chuck?
Yeah, hey, Chuck. I want to know, without showing all your cards, what's different in your game plan for Rampage this time around?
More other than being in a great shape, which I am now already. So, not my style of fighting is not going to change. I'm still going to fight the same way I did. I do every other time I've been out there.
Mm-hmm. So same game for you, just
same
new
game,
and improved
version. I'm just trying to execute it a little better.
Right.
Do you think the cage is going to play a different factor this time around?
I don't know that the. I mean, I never noticed the difference much between the cage and the ring. I mean, I like the cage better, but...
Oh, you fought him in a ring last time?
In a ring last time, yeah.
I see. So even though it was mixed martial arts, it was in a boxing ring.
It was in Pride. So it was in Pride.
So versus the chain, which some people hang on to, although you're not supposed to, right?
Yeah.
But for your game, you like to get in the middle and square off and you're a striker.
I like being there anyway.
All right. Thanks, Jacob. Danny. Take over.
Wait, I don't want to steal your thunder. Hold the mitts.
I'm going to go hold the mitts.
He's going to hold the mitts while Chuck Liddell throws some combinations his way.
Yeah.
Chuck's getting up.
I'm going to stand with maybe 5 seconds with Chuck Liddell and know that I did it.
At 6'2", 205 pounds. Takes on Corolla at 6'2".
I know. What do you like to jab? You want to jab here, and then you want to double up the jab here and come with the cross here. Double jab and then come with the cross. So, bing, bing, bang.
Oh,
that's the power. That.
My God.
Double jab. Yeah, it's that cross that you
don't
can feel by the dude.
Smile face. I thought it was going to be funny.
All right, let's see how the hook. Now, his left hook is dangerous. A lot of guys in mixed martial arts, and I don't know if you guys can hear me or not.
Yeah, we can hear you.
They're not great with the hands. They're great with the grappling. They're great on the ground. But the hands aren't great.
Is he left-handed?
Chuck is right-handed but has a great left hand, which is something that most of the guys in the UFC don't have.
Can I add something really important? I think I'm going to cry.
So why don't we go this, Chuck? Why don't we throw... I'll tell you what. Throw a straight right and then follow it with a left hook to the head. Straight right, hook to the head. Oh, it's that left hook.
Oh, that's tough.
Left hook. Chuck, dropping it just a little. Bring it right back. Just pop it. Pop it back into place. Yeah.
Nice.
All right, now let's follow it with a straight right. So it'll be straight right. There you go. All right, now look. Quit showing off. I want hand speed now, buddy. Forget about power. Put your ego aside. Let's go. Break it down. Loosen up. Bing, bing, bing. Yeah, there you go. Here we go. Nice. Now, how are you in the uppercut department?
Ooh, I got pretty decent.
You got a decent uppercut. How about a right uppercut? And then we'll come over the top. You're not supposed to punch
this
while
I'm playing. This will all be
on. Let's go. Focus, buddy. All right. Now, listen. You can either sweat on the mat or bleed in the street, Liddell. Let's focus.
Oh, my God. He's adorable.
Right uppercut, left hook. There you go. Yeah.
That uppercut.
Dig that uppercut.
The only time the pendulum hurts to the body.
Yeah. That left hook. Hit Bonaducci with that left hook.
Not like that.
All right. Right uppercut, left hook, and then we'll shorten up the left hook and come right back with the straight right. So it'll be dig, pop, boom. Over the top, overhand right, because Bonaducci's shorter now.
Right.
Overhand right. So it's going to be uppercut. It's going to be right uppercut, right uppercut. Then we come with the shortest hook. Now, with the right uppercut.
I want to have his children.
What I want you to do is you dig it right under Bonaducci's chin.
Oh, geez.
That'll pop the head up. All right? Then
this is
you
amazing.
Follow up with the right hook, short right hook, that knocks him on the way down. Left hook, then right overhand as he's heading toward the floor.
God.
All right?
He's going to hit me on my way down.
We'll do one slow. Right uppercut, then left hook. Now he's heading down. Finish. Big right uppercut. Here we go, buddy. Yeah. Now remember, Bonaducci's been talking a lot of smack.
I have, I love you.
You should have heard him in the 6 o'clock hour.
He said Jackson was going to kill you.
Yes.
You know who Jackson is?
I said, what about Chuck? He said something that rhymed with Chuck right in front of your name.
So
and then yelled Chuck. So, right uppercut that'll pop his head up. Short left hook, and then big Widowmaker on the way down. Yeah. All right, now let's just throw some left. Let's go hook. Yeah, let's go hook. Let's go hook, hook. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, let's go hook, hook. Yeah, hook, hook. Yeah, two more, buddy. Nice. All right. Chuck
Liddell.
That was
funny. I think the man's tired in the room. All right, here we go.
Heavy hands and fast hands.
Yes.
What?
All right.
Now I'm scared for Danny because you just taught him that Widowmaker thing.
Now, Chuck, if you're looking for inspiration, I don't know if you heard the same name game this morning, but Danny's stuff sucks.
Somebody go ahead and say go because I was over fast.
Wait a minute. I have a bell.
I'm very uncomfortable. You're going to get punched by this enormous
man. He's a world champion expert, and I fought Greg Brady. He's not going to kill me. What's the point?
No, he's going to.
He's going to show me something that I can remember.
Okay.
All right,
please
Chuck.
Don't hurt him.
I'm just going to try and get in. This first thing. Tell me what's up.
Are you ready?
Because nobody wants Bonaducci's organs.
Let me tell you the thing I love about this, by the way. I've said we've had 100 boxers in here. I'd had to beg them to sign a glove. Chuck is in.
Is it?
Chuck is ready to go.
I'm wetting myself.
Chuck.
Too.
Chuck, I know how it is.
The cardio is working. You're in great shape.
I know how it is with you fighters. It's a switch that gets thrown. Now, if you feel a garden hose, that means stop punching Bonaducci. You understand?
Oh, no.
If at a certain point there's 8 guys trying to wrestle you off his lifeless corpse, that means it's time to stop. I know you don't have a dimmer switch.
Adam, a crowd has gathered. Have you seen all these guys that have gathered outside our studio?
All right, here we go.
Oh,
Bonaducci once more is going to the body.
No.
Bonaducci. Oh, no. He's fighting back.
Hands up, Bonaducci.
Oh, wait a minute. That's enough. I've seen enough.
Danny did take one to the face.
I love a chocolate owl, man.
Now they're hugging.
That was big. minutes, and thank you for not killing me. I really appreciate that.
Chuck hit him with some real bombs.
You really did.
All right, see, Chuck Liddell is about brawl and sprawl. Danny's game is more about dry and hump.
It's just I couldn't be sure. I knew he knew that. I couldn't fight. I couldn't stand a chance, and that's why you fight.
You did good.
I don't get too scared of a guy that knows he can kill me and knows that I know he can kill me.
Chuck, what do you think of Danny as a boxer?
You can tell the truth.
I haven't seen him box.
Fair enough, but I got hit by Chuck Liddell. That's, Hulk Hogan once gave me a black eye, and that was like my big moment till now.
We will.
Thank you very much.
We need to take a break. Thank you, Danny, for being such a sport. Chuck Liddell,
the
everybody.
The Smoke Man.
The Ice.
And let me just admit it right now, my first defeat, and that kicked my ass without breaking a sweat. No problem. I admit it. No problem. A
lot of thunder in that left hook, and Rampage Jackson will feel it. May 26. Chuck Liddell is going to be down glad handing and signing his DVD, The Ultimate Iceman.
Maybe
that is it.
Tell a story.
12:30 today at the Virgin Megastore. We'll be back. Well, if you want to see Bonaducci getting punched in the head by the Iceman, Chuck Liddell, go to AdamCarolla.com.
Hey,
What a time we're living in.
He drew blood.
That's right.
No, don't tell the boy. I'll just say I'm bleeding.
He's bleeding. No, he did. He got at least one very good shot in the cabeza that Chuck gave him.
It was awesome. But for me, that was because his girlfriend, who I said, you know what? We didn't make a big enough of a fuss over you. Thank you very much for coming in. But for me, that's like playing guitar with Hendrix. And I just did that. That's a huge moment in my life.
Well, he held the focus pads for Corolla, too, during the break.
It's a big business. I know you guys think probably this show sucks, but we're very happy.
If I said, if I told Chuck we needed to go and give me a sweep and a mop of the lobby area, I feel like Chuck would have grabbed a broom and started running.
He's a sweet man.
He's a nice guy. He lets his fist do the talking. He don't have an attitude. Sidney Poitier, by the way, is on the phone. The daughter, Sidney Poitier.
Right.
And who also stars in Grindhouse. Are you up there, Sidney?
I'm here, yeah.
Ah, good to speak to you.
Hi.
I was lamenting the other day that it's the end of Western civilization, that Grindhouse has not made more money yet. Wild Hogs is going on its 13th week in the top 10.
I know, it's just a travesty.
That's a bad sign, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah. It's a very bad sign.
Sydney is you're of mixed race, right?
Yep.
Your dad, by the way, is one of the best looking brothers around. And
thank
I'm
you.
Guessing your mom was pretty easy on the eyes, too.
She was pretty hot, I must say.
And you thus did no work to come out as hot as you are.
Right. You deserve no special props for being so beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
I just touched by the hand of God.
Yep.
Just like Bonaducci got his face touched by Liddell's hand.
I did.
So, Sydney, what was the experience like on Grindhouse? Because it seems like quite an interesting and artistic environment.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, it was just as you would expect it to be. It was a really creative, really different environment to be in. And Quentin, I was in Quentin's half
right.
movie, so he's just kind of like this mad genius, you know. He's like this exuberant, crazy, passionate guy, and every day on the set was one, a really great learning experience, but also just a big party. You know, the whole point of this movie was to bring fun back to movies, and so he wanted to kind of keep that feeling on set with the crew and all the actors, and it was just a great, amazing time.
Did he make advances toward you sexually? Because I see him coming on to you almost every day.
Well, he's a flirtatious guy.
Uh-huh.
Yes, well, there is the alleged romance between Robert Rodriguez and Rose McGowan. It's gotten a lot of press.
Yeah, they had done their movie months before we ever got there, so I don't know.
Correctamundo.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know what's happening there.
Rose McGowan got angry at me once for calling her nuts, and I know maybe it's just from the side of the tracks I come from, but that's not such a bad thing.
Right.
She is nutty. She really is nutty. Not necessarily in a bad way or a dangerous way, but Rose McGowan.
Sure.
Well, first off, she was married to Marilyn Manson.
Right.
They were together, yeah.
Yeah, together, yeah.
And let me ask you guys this hypothetically. And Sydney, I know you don't have a penis, but pretend you do for a second.
Okay.
Just pretend you had a brain like mine or the recently rattled Bonaducci brain. It did sound like you were shaking a paint can, by the way, when he was getting hit in the head.
When he came around, I was starting to get scared.
So, if you're Robert Rodriguez, and now you have the beautiful Rose McGowan, and she is a spectacular-looking woman, much like yourself, would it bother you to know that Marilyn Manson was wearing the kabuki makeup and donning the black jumpsuit with the zipper down, you know, a few years earlier? Would that kind of freak you out that they did it in a coffin with this weirdo sort of half man, half woman guy who was high on absinthe the whole time, you know, going down on your beautiful, or I shouldn't have said that. What would we call it?
Making love
to the beautiful woman you're with now. Would that put a little hitch in your giddy up?
It might put a little hitch in my giddy up a little bit.
Ah, now you're thinking like a guy, Sydney. I like that. Bonaducci? Would that bother you? Oh, all right.
He's a little addled right now.
He called me Frosty during the commercial. I don't want to say he's out of it. Yeah, I think it would lower her stock just a little. I mean, look, Ben Affleck, fine.
Is it?
Nothing is fine.
Nothing's fine. Okay.
Nothing's fine.
In the boy world, nothing's fine.
Yes, you want to go there.
You want that new car smell?
I like that new Hyman smell. That's me.
You just grossed out.
Sorry, Sydney Poitier.
Well, you know what? Though we're giving her an education in the boy world because chicks never know. Whenever I say this stuff to a girl about what guys really think, because I treat them like my real friends and tell them what we're thinking, and they always flip out. And women should know that. Women should know. If your answer is 100, when we ask you how many men you've slept with, you need to say 2.
Yeah.
And that you were in love with them both.
Sydney, what's the stock answer that you give?
That I give?
Yeah.
Really? I don't know if I have a stock answer.
Are you married? Are you single?
I'm not married, but I've been with someone for 8 years.
Mm-hmm. Is he in the business?
He's a musician.
Shocking.
would we know his music?
I don't know. He was in a band for 12 years, like in the 90s, called Powerman 5000. That you might know.
Wait a minute. You're talking about a zombie? Are we talking about one of the zombie brothers?
Oh, no. But yeah, he was in the band too. But no, it's not one of those.
You are in a guy from Powerman 5000, and it's not the zombie brother?
No. Spider, no.
It's not Spider Zombie?
Not Spider Zombie.
His real
zombie.
Name is Herschel Schwartz?
What's the name of this band?
No,
Rob
Glorious.
Zombie's brother, Spider Zombie.
Right.
What are we doing, everybody? Is in a band called Powerman 5000.
So that's what I wouldn't need.
That's
to
from
know.
The late 90s. It's not that,
so
that long
yeah,
ago.
Like the day,
right.
The least favorite guy from a band I never heard of.
Dates the guy who plays the hollowed out fish in Power Man 5000.
Right, yeah, I got it.
That's right. Chet Zombies, his name.
Sydney, how'd you meet this guy?
We were set up on a blind date.
I hear that goes well for people sometimes.
Were you big?
They do.
Well, he must have been delighted
can
when he
imagine?
Saw you.
Yeah.
And by the way, she's 5'11", yes?
5'10".
5'10", a tall, yeah. Beautiful woman.
Oh, so hot.
And a Portier.
So hot. And a Portier. Yes. All right. Yeah, First things, have sex, then go meet your dad.
Right.
Then have sex again, then go meet your dad again, but shower in between all those sessions. That's what we would do.
Because I'm a real fan. Your father's the first black actor to win an Academy Award, correct, for Lily in the Fields? Here's what I'd like to do. First, have sex. Then meet her dad, then have sex with her dad, then go have sex with her again.
Have sex with Sydney, meet the dad, sex with dad, then we watch the DVD release of Patch of Blue.
Right.
Then we have sex again, then we all just take a nice schvitz.
Yeah.
I was worried you were going to work his Oscar into the sex thing.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad you did.
I wasn't going to work it into the sex. Never mind.
Thanks for being respectful.
Sydney Poitier, Grindhouse, and why don't you come in here in person when you have your next project release so we can lay our eyes on you.
I definitely will.
We would love that.
Punch Danny in the head.
Everybody's doing it.
I would love to.
Sydney Poitier, Grindhouse, everybody, in theaters as we speak. And now, Newshouse. T, what's in it?
Yes, well, Rosie O'Donnell made a very big announcement today on The View, and I will have that for you.
Next on The Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Alcoa presents... Definitely not a Jew! on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Superior, Wisconsin. A 20-year-old man had to register as a sex offender after being convicted of having sex with a dead deer on the side of a highway. Definitely not a Jew.
Yes. Imagine you get set up on a blind date with this chap from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Decide maybe you should go ahead and Google him just to find out if there's any skeletons in the past. Right. Perhaps he's late on a child support payment. Right. Maybe he was married once before and is divorced.
I'm telling you.
And this baby pops up. Let's see. Registered sex offender. What? She was 17 and a half and said she was 18? Nope. Nope. Not
she
quite.
She was dead, first of all. And secondly?
There's a sitcom named after. It's called Yes, Dear.
Nice.
All right, T.
That deer probably didn't even say yes.
I, by the way, am not one of those beta nuts who gives a good rat's arse what we do to animals after they're dead.
And the show has reached a new low.
Considering I spent half my day eating them.
Yeah.
If some hillbilly wants to get engaged to one by the side of the road, that's between him and his maker.
Right. Just not on Tuba Shvat.
That's right.
You know, I'm one of those guys that doesn't care that much what we do to them while they're alive. They're just animals.
All right, speaking of... Well, she's no animal. She's Teresa Strasser. And she's got the news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Rosie O'Donnell made a big announcement this morning on The View.
I've decided, Ed, that we couldn't come to terms with my deal with ABC. So next year, I'm not going to be on The View. However, I will be coming back and guest hosting. I will be doing one-hour specials on autism and depression and stuff that I'm interested in. I'm just not going to do the everyday thing because we couldn't, you know, they wanted me 3 years. I wanted 1 year. And then they were like, okay, well, what if we did? I was like, and it just didn't work. And that's showbiz, but it's not sad. Because I've loved it here, and I love you guys, and I'm not going away. I'm just not going to be here every day.
Now, let me do Barbara Walters on camera.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, head nodding, concerned, looks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, let me do Barbara Walters' inner monologue.
Okay.
Oh, thank Christ. Thank dear Christ. Thank all who is holy that this evil lesbian spawned this woman who's really takes up the space of eight lesbians is off of my show. Thank
holy
Christ to all that is sacred. Thank you, Christ, Lord.
Do you want to hear her outer monologue, and then you can do what she was really thinking? Here's what she said.
I didn't even know we had that.
Yes. Now, listen carefully as she washes her hands of the whole situation.
I do not participate in the negotiations for Rosie.
Correct.
It's and it is ABC daytime.
Right. I sent an email that says, fire this cow.
I did this and I did that, and it brings back a lot of other things that I was accused of doing and did not do. It was between your representative and ABC daytime.
Yes.
This is not my doing or my choice. Rosie will be on with us until the end of June.
Yes.
That'll
be comfortable. Right? Elizabeth Hasselbeck must have eaten a tub of Haagen-Dazs in celebration in her dressing room, just crying, weeping openly, and just polishing off Haagen-Dazs. How exciting.
Yes, this is arguably a bad move for The View, which has done a lot better since Rosie came on board. Now, how about this?
How about the fact that Barbara was protesting a little too much, explaining over and over again she had nothing to do with it.
Unless you weren't a liar.
I wasn't going to blame you, old lady, until you kept saying I had nothing to do with it. Now I'm starting to get a little suspicious.
Yeah, maybe you might have done it.
Yeah.
Well, Rosie, earlier in the week, said she was sympathetic to Alec Baldwin in the wake of that voicemail he left.
Sure, they're both communists.
they're both liberal. And
right. If Karl Rove had left that message, what do you think her reaction would have been? The same thing? Sympathetic? She understands as a parent?
She'd probably think he's a rude little pig.
That's right.
Yep. Now Alec called Rosie to thank her, and they talked him into going on the show. So Friday, Alec Baldwin on The View.
Wow.
That's
kind of cool.
Should be good. Should be good booking. Now, last night on Dancing with the Stars, Heather Mills got kicked off. even though she didn't fall. She fell in the eyes of the American public and in the eyes of the judges, but she had a speech prepared. And here's a little bit. I had to cut it way down. She had a long speech. Here's what she had to say.
I'd just like to say a massive thank you to Jonathan because, you know, he's just amazing.
Yeah.
And what's sad is that once the dancers go out, he now is not paid. So I feel really bad for that reason. So I'm going to try and get him some great work.
And take him back to
England with you again tonight. I'd also like to thank all the girls, Melanie, Mary, everyone in hair and makeup, all the orchestra.
I would like an experiment where we forced Heather Mills and Howard K. Stern to make the world's most hateable person.
Wow.
Nice.
Can you imagine the offspring for those two? Not the world's worst people. They haven't killed anybody. They haven't robbed. They haven't done anything wrong as far as I know. Just the most hateable person.
You know, because you always think about that with, like you just said to Sidney Poitier.
Yes.
You know, what are the chances that you weren't going to come out perfect? You never think the other way. Let's mate Manson with that female serial killer, that hooker chick with the buck teeth.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see what kind of devil baby we
can
make.
Eileen Warner, I think.
Something like that.
Oh, yeah. Eileen Warner.
Yeah. That, you know, make a little devil baby. That'd be fun to play with.
All right. Devil baby.
Justin, we talked about it earlier. Presidential candidate. Now officially the presidential candidate, McCain, announced this morning that he is in the running.
Today, I announce my candidacy for president of the United States.
Well, he's been running for like 13 years, hasn't he?
It felt
like
it.
This is news?
Now it's official.
I like that old man.
Seems like a nice man, and he's a Vietnam veteran. He's very experienced and seasoned.
He's destroyed more airplanes than Al-Qaeda, though. I mean, to be fair.
I stole that.
To him.
On one of the new shows I did, I totally stole that information you gave me.
He crashed a plane when he was in a pilot program, or actually being a pilot.
Did I hear if I got this
he,
right?
He also was shot down over Vietnam, then he was involved with the Forrestal incident, which you guys should Google because it was the craziest thing in the world. He was on an aircraft carrier. And a guy jumped into his F-4, A-4, whatever. Imagine you're on the deck of an aircraft carrier. You're surrounded by fuel and 2,000-pound bombs. Some guy hops in the cockpit of his A-4. It's sitting on the deck. And a Sidewinder missile fires, mistakenly, and goes right into you. Now, your plane is on fire. He jumps out of his plane. The entire deck catches on fire, and all the bombs, all the ordnances that were on the deck start blowing up. Now we have a battleship, or I should say an aircraft carrier, that is on fire for like 4 days. Fuel dripping down to the lower decks, explosives in the lower decks blowing up. Imagine that gig. The entire deck is on fire. You want to talk about huevos. Imagine you're looking at a 2,000-pound bomb that's on fire in a huge pool of gasoline on fire. Some guy says, hey, man, grab a fire hose and start running at it, because if that baby goes off. Well, it did go off. And that was just one of the many adventures of John McCain.
Yes.
I just got punched in the face by Chuck Liddell. I'm running away from the 2,000-pound bomb.
I would run, too.
Now, what do you guys think is the most popular surname in the world, if you had to guess at this moment?
I didn't mean just the most popular name. Is
in
that
all the world? Yes, is a last name.
I'm gonna go Kim or Ho or Cho or
close.
Burkhead.
I'll go Lee.
Lee. Yeah, I'm gonna go Chinese or Indian, and I'm going to go with populous.
Or Mohammed.
You were very close, Adam. According to a new study, Lee is actually the second most popular name in the world. Wang is now the most popular.
Damn!
There are 93 million.
The funniest name, the funniest possibility, and number one, and we both missed it.
Yeah, 93 million Wangs.
But what's interesting is,
I rented that last weekend, by the way. Bill and I watch it.
It's interesting how the hierarchy around here works.
It was
a
puckish satire. Go ahead.
I said, Lee. And Adam said, Lee. And Tracy goes, well, Adam, you were really close with Lee.
Yeah, that was Bonadio. I was right. No. I got on I got hot on the trail of the Chinese.
Okay, Danny. Yes. Name one of the five most popular surnames in the United States. Just guess.
In the United States? Washington.
Wrong. Anything?
I may be tainted because I live out here. Gonzalez.
No. In the United States. In the United States.
Still going with Gonzalez.
I'm going with the name of an American president from between the first president
there's
and
There's one
the fifth.
President only in the top five.
I'm going to go, you got your Smith and your Joneses.
Johnson's got to be the president.
Yes, Johnson's the president. Smith, Johnson, Williams, Jones, and Brown.
Still there, huh?
Yeah. Mexico, Hernandez, Garcia, Martinez, Gonzalez, and Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
And Italy, your country of origin, Rossi, Russo, Ferrari, Esposito, and Bianchi.
Bianchi.
If I'm pronouncing that right, would it be CH? Would it be Bianchi?
Yeah.
Thank you. Now I can sleep tonight.
Ferrari, huh?
Ferrari in the top five most popular surnames in Italy.
Weird.
Now, this is interesting. There's a documentary called Human Footprint, which breaks every aspect of life down into a statistic. And I thought some of the statistics they calculated were interesting. Now, in your life, you will cry 15 gallons worth of tears.
That's just one lovemaking session with Teresa Strasser, by the way.
And by the way, 15 gallons worth of tears from Corolla are worth 13,000 gallons.
Yeah, I'm not a big weeper,
when was the last time you cried?
I have to say, when my wife's best friend died of, I think it was ovarian cancer, it rattled me.
You cried.
I loved her and it broke me up, and she was so young. So I'd say that was it.
Were you moved when your babies were born?
I was moved to.
Your
I was
babies.
Moved to go out to a vending machine again. No, Snickers. I don't know why. You know why I was angry that I was forced into the OR,
right.
And I was angry that the guy made me cut the. I was so angry that they kept making me do things I didn't want to do that I couldn't enjoy the moment.
I was drunk for both of them.
You were drunk for both the births of your children,
and the insemination.
Well, speaking of children,
speaking of children,
as a baby, you used 3,796 diapers. And you will know 10 people in your life who commit suicide, 9 who die in car accidents, and 1 who dies in a fire. If you're a smoker.
That's a weekend for Bonaducci.
Here's another one that's relevant to Bonaducci. If you're a smoker, you'll smoke 77,000 cigarettes.
That's got to be average. I beat that.
Yeah.
You've probably. And you'll produce.
I smoke 60 cigarettes a day.
Yeah, I think you're ahead of the curve. You'll produce foul, gaseous emissions an average of 15 times a day.
Hold on. Right you are.
And you'll produce 39 gallons of vomit. But on the upside, you'll make 1,700 friends.
1,700 friends?
Yeah, in your lifetime.
I couldn't. This thing could not be more wrong.
I still hang out with the same idiots I hung out with in high school.
That's true, but at least you know this.
I guess when they say make friends, they mean somebody you sit on a train ride with and exchange whatever.
Yes, absolutely.
I have one new friend. I finally, Gretchen's always pushing me to make friends, so I had one. She's a school teacher, super nice girl. I looked at her the other day, and I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how well do we know each other? How friendly are we? And she goes, 7. So I went, good. I just had to.
Oh, really? You can do that at a 7 or above?
I would have done it whatever she said. I had to go.
For me, it's 3, but
she had to leave the room, or I had to go.
I wouldn't know because I don't do that. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news. I don't care for that.
With the real news. CNN.
Yes, indeed. We need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, it reminded me, I was talking about last time I cried. I'd like to know last time you cried. What's broken you up?
Mine's easy.
Dude, are you gay?
Daniel say when for her, it was the 7 o'clock hour. And you tell us, 866-901-ADAM, what broke you up? And last, we promise not to make fun of you unless it's gay.
Unless it was the movie Rudy or something.
Right, then we're going
to
laugh our asses off.
Come after you. Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right, you call 866-901-ADAM, tell us the last time you shed a tear next.
Okay, hi, this is Peter Falk. Tune in to the Adam Carolla Show. Very funny. Talk to you later.
All right.
Is this a f***ing democracy? Who the f*** do you think you're talking to?
It's funny, when you get a little older, you preface almost everything you say with now. You want it now? You want to do it now? Peter Falk, the great Peter Falk.
I don't like you!
All right, we're talking about, based on Teresa's stats, crying. When's the last time you had a good cry? I'm pretty, you play me the right song and talk about my kids, I think I could work something up. I really do.
Man eater.
Survivor. That's song? Right. I'll do the Survivor dance. Boy, really cuts through the night air about 3 a.m. when Daddy's trying to sleep. All right, Jim. When'd you cry last?
First, I gotta say I love your show, Adam, and I absolutely am in love with Teresa.
Oh, thank you.
She'll make you cry.
Yeah. Weekend, I actually
let me tell you something. Fluids will be coming out of both ends when you make love to Teresa Strasser.
What were you saying, Jim?
You're teasing me. I'm trying to tell my family this weekend that my wife and I are splitting up, and we have a two-year-old boy, and they've always been pretty close to her.
Mm-hmm.
How long were you together?
10 years total.
And
do you want to stay together?
No.
You don't. Did you instigate the divorce?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, it's still sad, but not as sad as having the divorce happen to you.
That's, yeah.
Speaking of that. Hey, so Jim, why are you getting a divorce?
Oh, that's a story that would take forever. I mean, it's just a long series over the last 6 years of things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, you try the counseling thing and you know, you try everything and...
I just
gave up finally.
Story shorter. I was drunk.
And it's sad for your 2 year old.
It's actually sad, but it's going to be better because there's already less tension in the house and things are already better than they have been for a couple of years.
I hate immature people. That's right. What Gretchen says. This is best for the children because we argue so much.
Right.
No, it's not the best for anybody. And if you want a guy to admit he doesn't want a divorce, that would be me. I don't want a divorce. I'm getting divorced.
Jim, plus it'll be nice to have the new trophy wife, Dakota. The 19-year-old Dakota.
I got one of them lined up. I'm cool with that one.
I've said many times, I ever go the trophy wife route where I hook up with the chick when I'm in my 50s and she's in her early 20s, I'm going to name her Mildred. Because if her name is Brittany or Dakota, everyone's going to laugh their ass off. But if her name is Helen or Gertrude or Mildred or something, no one will give you any crap. As a matter of fact, if you're 55 and you're dating a 31-year-old and her name is Brittany, your friends are going to laugh their ass off. You could date a 19-year-old named Mildred. They wouldn't give you any crap at all. That's what I'll do. I'm going to change him to an old like Betsy. All right.
I might cry because I just saw something that came on the screen.
What line?
And it looked for Kevin.
Oh.
That's really rough.
Is he on line 8?
It looks like 5.
Oh, where am I looking? Okay, there you go. I'm going to cry because I can't read. Kevin?
Yes, sir.
What happened?
Last year I was over in Iraq and my wife was killed by a drunk driver while I was over in
while Iraq. You were there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. You don't hear about that, but you think it's bound to happen.
I am so sorry. How did you find out?
They just came to me in the barracks. My commanding officer came to me in the barracks, and they sat me down and told me.
And so bizarre that when you...
And they were so good to me, they gave me a week off to go home, and I had to go back.
Oh, really? So you had to head... You went back. You went to the funeral.
Yeah.
And then it was right back to Iraq.
Yes, sir.
Now, when you went back to Iraq, were you freaked out? I mean, were you feeling like, I'm doomed?
Basically, they had to send me back because I just pretty much had a mental meltdown. And you know, I was going to take an M-242 to just everybody. You know, I didn't care.
It's never a good time to be in Iraq, but under these circumstances, do you feel like it was a good place to be amongst, you know, comrades in that environment?
It still, you know, chokes me up right now that, you know, my buddies rallied around me, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it's nice to have people around you when you have that much grief.
How long ago did this happen, Kevin?
Now it's about 9 months.
9 months. And where are you now?
I'm back in Phoenix.
And what's the plan?
Well, I'm going to the VA's helping me out, getting me some counseling, and you know, and I'm just, you know, I got started drinking real hard when I came back, and now I stopped drinking. I'm going to AA, and I salute you, Danny. You're sober, man, and that's kick ass, and it's it's not an answer at the bottom of the bottle.
Hey, no, man. You know what, though?
No.
Even when you get what you think are the answers, there's still such havoc left over from what you did.
Mm.
My wife filed for divorce after I'd been sober a year because of all the stuff I did when I was drunk.
I find the answers toward the middle of the bottle. I find the puke at the bottom of the bottle, but the answers lie in the middle.
Well, Kevin's
there's
right.
A riddle
I mean,
with
if
other
you,
chicks is not a bad idea.
If you drink over that problem, you just have two problems.
Yeah Kevin, good luck to you. Do you have kids?
No, she was pregnant, actually.
No. Kevin. Kevin, what was her name?
Thank you for saving me from that joke.
Yes.
Kevin?
Shannon.
I'm so, so sorry. Do you feel like Shannon's still with you? Do you think about her a lot?
Oh, yeah. I feel her around me all the time. Uh-huh. She wants me to let go. You know, I got to let go of it. I got to let her go, you know, and that's, I really need to let her move on to where she needs to be. And, you know, I just got to get on with my life. And that's the hardest thing is because, you know, it's, everything reminds me, you know, I hear songs or whatever, and I just got to get out of what they call the bitter morass of self-pity, you know?
Well,
and
how old are you, Kevin?
I'm 29.
The good news is,
me too.
Even though you feel, fourth year in a row, even though you've seen a lot in your 29 years.
After heels, Kevin.
I'm 32, actually. I've been listening to you.
My life didn't begin until I was your age, so you can have a whole new lease and a whole second half, and that's what you're going to have to do. You feel like an old soul because of what you've seen and what you've gone through and experienced, but you're not. Chronologically, you're young and you're a pup, and there's plenty of time to start anew, so please do that for us, Kevin.
I will, you know, and you guys are, you know what, you guys make me happy every day. I listen to you guys all morning, and I never miss a show. I never miss
Thank
a show,
you.
And you guys are awesome, and you help brighten my day up. And again, Danny, man, congratulations on your sobriety, man. It's pretty awesome.
Thanks, man. By the way, if you're keeping track, was it year six today?
Yes.
Something like that.
Although he is punch drunk now, technically,
dude,
from what Chuck Liddell did to his head.
I was going to say, if it would make this gentleman feel any better, I'll get punched in the face by a world champion every day.
I'm just thinking of going downstairs, a little south of the border. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. We'll be back to wrap it up after this. Wow. Hey, I'm off to New York City. To the Tribeca Film Festival, see my movie, but good news, actually better news than me being here tomorrow. Jimmy Kimmel is going to guest host. His guests, Joe Pesci, Terry Hatcher, George Lopez, Super Dave Osborne, Greg Fitzsimmons, Billy West, and Def Frat Guy. I thought he was kidding when he said Joe Pesci and Terry Hatcher. I thought he was just screwing with me.
You were kidding just now.
No!
Wow.
No!
Yeah. No! But I thought so too.
No!
Damn.
Joe Pesci, Terry Hatcher, and Jimmy Kimmel, I will count as a guest as well.
We'll
Loaded for Bear. I'll be in New York City, and I'm going to thank Emmanuel Lewis, Chuck Liddell, and Sidney Poitier. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo. The praying sports aficionado.